I was nervous.
All right, good morning, everyone. Call the meeting of the Friday, March 31st, Transportation Finance and Commerce, Finance and Policy Committee meeting to order. We do have a quorum, and today we are going to be rolling with passing the DE finance bill. And Chair Hornstein, would you like to begin? I got to go to Petersburg for motion to move the minutes for March 30th.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to move the minutes of yesterday's meeting.
Thank you very much. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The motion prevails. And thank you very much, everyone. Moving on to House File 2887. And Chair Hornstein, would you like to move your bill?
Yes. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And I would like to move House File 2887, this year's transportation budget bill, for re-referral to the Committee on Taxes.
Thank you very much. And now we have the DE that we also need to move. Mr. Chair, will you put the DE in front of us, please?
Yes, I have a DE amendment that will get the bill in the form. I would like the committee to consider it in, please.
All right, thank you very much, sir. So we have the DE1 amendment for House File 2887. And before we get to discussion on the DE, we've got a lengthy list of testifiers for everybody today. So we are going to make this go as efficiently as possible because we've got a lot of amendments that we need to get through as well today. So if everyone will please work together to help get through this, that would be great. So we are going to give 90 seconds of testimony for everyone here. And so I will call the next person, which is up, which is Public Works Director Margaret Anderson Kelleher from the City of Minneapolis. And that will be followed by Anna Odegaard. And so if... is Margaret here? Steve is here. We've got... City of Minneapolis, and then if Anna will come up and take the other chair that's available, and then after that will be John Pollard, so if we'll just flip back and forth for taking the chairs that are up there so we can get this, keep this moving as quickly as possible and get as much testimony as we can today into the record. So with that, we have Steve Huser. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I am not Margaret Anderson Kelleher. She sends her regrets. She was not able to make the meeting this morning, but I am Steve Huser, the government relations representative for the City of Minneapolis. We just want to thank Chair Hornstein and the committee for a robust and balanced transportation funding bill. We especially are grateful for the funding for the regional transit system. This is a top priority for the city in terms of our transportation policies this session. Up to 16.5% of our residents live in households that don't have access to an automobile, so this infrastructure is very critical to the city. We also support the matching funds and the funding and provisions related to IIJA and IRA that are included in the bill. We appreciate the funding for the Northern Lights Express rail project that Chair Hornstein has included in this bill. And we are also grateful for the new city street funding that is included in the legislation. We would also support a large city's assistance account creation and funding if the committee chose to go that route as well. So I just want to again thank the chair for the bill, and any questions I'm happy to entertain.
Thank you very much. Moving on, is Anna Odegaard here?
Thank you.
All right, so we're going to move to John Pollard, then John Pollard from 49ers, and then Dave Wagner. Wager.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is John Pollard. I'm the Legislative Director for the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 49. We represent about 14,500 men and women across Minnesota, North, and South Dakota that work at heavy machinery at construction sites around the state and the region. Thank you for the opportunity to speak briefly about House File 2887. I don't need to repeat testimony that was given yesterday about the need across the system. The committee is well aware of that. But we would be remiss if we didn't, again, testify to the fact that this bill before you is actually a jobs bill. This bill, if passed and signed into law, will provide literally tens of thousands of jobs for men and women across the state. On a comprehensive scale, construction industry in Minnesota is about a $16 billion industry and employs approximately 130,000 people. They are good-paying jobs that provide health care and benefits for members such as Local 49. For example, literally this week, up in Elk River on the Highway 169 project, members returned to those crews this week. It's a $124 million project. Will be completed in 2024. It was actually funded in part by the corridors of commerce, such as the one in this bill. Ames Construction was awarded that contract. One of our members, her name's Kim, reported to that job site this week. She will be working that job site, operating a compactor, or better known as a roller. This project will take two more seasons to complete, and as of right now, Kim expects to be on that project for both seasons. So that project, that job, will be providing livable wages for her family, health care benefits, and pensions. So on behalf of Kim, all the operators across the state, thank you for the opportunity to testify on this bill, and we appreciate the support for a long-term transportation funding package. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you so much, John. Next is Dave here. Dave, thank you for being here. Next up is Reed Lytle as well, after Dave, from Work Safety.
Good morning. Dave Wager with the Minnesota Propane Association. I'm just here to Representative Olson is going to offer an amendment later, so I'm just here to answer questions on that in regards to our bill.
Thank you very much, Mr. Wager.
Thank you.
Reed Lytle, followed by Luther Winder. And Luther, if you're here, I don't see you anywhere. Hi, Luther. Yeah, if you go, please take the next spot. I'd appreciate it. Thank you. Please proceed.
Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Reed Leedley, and I'm with Safety Science. So my coworkers are the ones that put out the orange cones and signs and barricades in the work zones. And I'm so proud and impressed of this legislation and the funding behind this legislation because it not only helps my coworkers, but it helps those that are building the bridges, paving the roads, and more specifically, it addresses safety. And it also addresses safety of the traveling public. So we know that speeding is a national problem. And every day there's people that are seriously injured and lose their lives in work zones. And this funding and legislation is going to help us address speeding here, where in Minnesota, we know as few as one out of every 10 cars traveling through a work zone is actually following the speed limit. And we have data showing that cars are going in excess of 100 and 110 miles an hour through our work zones on the interstates. So again, very appreciative. This has been a long time in the works. And this is going to give us the tools that we need to implement some speed mitigation strategies. And very, very appreciative of you listening and taking action. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Levy. Mr. Winder, please proceed.
Good morning. I'm committee chair, committee. On behalf of Minnesota Valley and the Suburban Transit Association, we are thankful for the support we received from the author, Representative Hornstein, as well as the committee in support of microtransit. We continue to be confident and hopeful as we continue to have discussions about how we look at dedicated funding, moving beyond the one-time funding that will be hopefully appropriated in a future amendment. We're thankful for continuing support as we look to try to look at provide coverage to the entire region as far as transit is concerned. Just to follow up, I talked to one of our riders yesterday, Camille, and she's an older woman that chooses to live in her residence because of its proximity to transit. And she really she had seen our new demo electric bus, our EGS bus, and she was really confident and hopeful that she would obviously get to continue to ride that after the demo. And I told her, I said, Camille, help is on the way. So we thank you for the committee. We thank you for support, and we continue to start having those conversations about how we can have a fair and equitable allocation of any future dedicated revenue. So thank you very much.
Thanks. And could you please state your name for the record?
Luther Winder, Minnesota Valley Transit Authority.
Thank you very much. Anna Odegaard is here now. And then following Anna will be Ryan Daniel from Minnesota Public Transit Association. If Brian, you could please come up and take the next seat.
Good morning.
Okay. Anna, please proceed when you're ready.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I apologize for being late. My name is Anna Odegaard. I'm the director of the Minnesota Asset Building Coalition, and I would like to thank Chair Hornstein and the committee for including two important equity measures in this bill that reduce financial barriers to legal driving status, especially impacting low-income and BIPOC Minnesotans. Representative Pinto's reintegration driver's license bill, House File 503, and Representative Becker Finn's retroactive driver's license reinstatement bill, House File 490. Denying people legal driving status because of their inability to pay fines and fees excludes many Minnesotans from full participation in the job market and isolates them from their communities. It also systematically ensnares people in the criminal justice system because most people can't meet the basic needs of their family without driving, at least occasionally. House File 503 removes financial barriers to valid licensure for people releasing from incarceration with a driver's license that is suspended for fines or fees incurred prior to incarceration. Legal driving status is critical for this population because it supports successful community reintegration, including securing employment and housing, meeting conditions of release, and reconnecting with family. House File 490 makes 8,000 Minnesotans eligible for license reinstatement whose license is currently suspended for failure to pay a traffic ticket. This committee passed legislation in 2021 ending license suspensions for unpaid traffic tickets, and this bill extends that relief to people whose license was suspended prior to the enactment of that 2021 legislation. Advocacy organizations across the political spectrum, including the Southern Poverty Law Center, the ACLU, and the American Legislative Exchange Council, have all taken the position that driver's license suspensions should only be used for dangerous driving violations, not to coerce payment or punish inability to pay. We are so grateful to Chair Hornstein and our many other legislative allies for working to make that position the policy in Minnesota.
Thank you so much. Now we have Ryan Daniel, followed by Moaz Uden from Drive Electric Minnesota. Please proceed.
Good morning. I am Ryan Daniel, CEO of St. Cloud Metro Bus, here today as the president of the Minnesota Public Transit Association. I want to thank Chair and the committee members for this comprehensive transportation package that invests in our greater Minnesota bus systems, transit in the metro area, roads, bridges, and active transportation. The investment of dedicated funding is critical for us to serve our communities, and there are many unmet needs across the state. Without the additional funding, we have been advised there will be very small increases next year in our upcoming budgets. Costs continue to increase while revenue is not keeping up. Both MVES and the lease vehicle sales tax have dropped significantly from expected levels, and that impacts our budgets. We are averaging 2 years behind bus replacements for vehicles that reach their end of life. Lack of available new buses has resulted in increased maintenance costs for our systems. For the buses that are arriving, the cost of the vehicles has increased by 40%. This applies to buses already ordered and budgeted for, creating another financial pressure. During COVID, OTAP suspended the 15% local operating share for the rail systems. In the coming contract, we have been advised the full local share will be required again, but systems are not ready for that increase yet and are asking for a 5% local operating match for 2 years and a 10% capital match for 2 years. Transit systems are recovering. People in our communities need transit service to get to work, to get to medical appointments, to get to school, and to live their lives all across the state. Remember, when transportation goes, the community grows. The funding in the proposed omnibus bill funding will provide the stable, dedicated funding we need to provide and maintain the bus service our communities need. In addition, we are hoping that the final bill will provide one-time money to reduce the local match for 2 years without creating an overall reduction in the transit budget. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Daniel. Now we have Moaz Uden from Drive Minnesota, Drive Electric Minnesota, followed by Bruce Neustadt.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair Topkin, members of the committee. My name is Moaz Uden, and I'm an electric vehicle policy specialist at the Great Plains Institute, testifying today on behalf of Drive Electric Minnesota. Drive Electric Minnesota is a partnership of EV champions working to accelerate EV adoption in Minnesota. We believe EVs are a key strategy to reduce greenhouse gas emissions in Minnesota while also resulting in reduced costs, cleaner air, and improved energy independence. Drive Electric Minnesota supports the inclusion of several important provisions in House File 2887 that would maximize the benefits to Minnesotans from the Inflation Reduction Act, Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, and other federal programs which represent an unprecedented opportunity to invest in Minnesota's EV charging infrastructure. In particular, we support matching funds for federal transportation grant programs and establishing a statewide electric vehicle infrastructure program. These provisions will help to make EV charging infrastructure available throughout the state, reducing range anxiety and supporting increased EV adoption. We appreciate this committee's consideration of several important provisions to invest in Minnesota's EV charging infrastructure, and we appreciate the opportunity to comment. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Udine. Now we have Bruce Neustadt, followed by Todd Hill. Mr. Neustadt, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Bruce Neustadt with the Minnesota Retailers Association. Mr. Chair, you're running an efficient ship today. You have a future career in retail logistics, by the way. Appreciate the opportunity to be here today. Probably it's no surprise we stand opposed to the delivery fee mechanism. And I just want to say to all the folks advocating for transportation investments, those are important investments. We just think the delivery fee is not the right tool for this investment. So I want to thank Representative Cagle for trying to address some of the concerns. We still do have a number of really strong, outstanding questions. In fact, those questions are really emphasized as to what's happening in Colorado right now. The legislature in Colorado is working to try to fix their delivery fee. Because this is a new concept, untested, and it's just not ready for prime time in Minnesota yet. But, Mr. Chair, thank you so much. I want to say that my concerns and the concerns of my organization really relate to the impact on the customer. We do think this tax disproportionately impacts seniors and people on a fixed income, et cetera, people without easy access to food and those that are disabled as well. We think this fee and the delivery fee just makes things more expensive and more difficult for those that are already struggling. And we know it's largely unpopular. When we talk to our customers about this, we know it's not popular with them. And I know you've heard all those conversation points about how Minnesotans are impacted, but it also has a business impact. During the pandemic, we asked small businesses here in Minnesota to pivot and offer curbside and delivery to their customers as quick as they could. A lot of those small businesses made significant investments in technology to get that done. And now I fear we're asking them to make either another further investment to accommodate this fee and how it might work within their system, as well as how it might drive customers away from using that system. So, Mr. Chair, we're certainly again sympathetic to the transportation gap that exists here in Minnesota. I wish I had the magic solution for you, but I'd ask you to reject the delivery fee as something that's not right for Minnesota right now.
Thank you very much. Todd Hill from Hill Capital Strategies, followed by Aurora Vautrin.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Todd Hill with Hill Capital Strategies, and I'm here on behalf of the Deputy Registrars Business Owners Association, more commonly referred to as the private deputy registers. Last night, I actually went back and listened to Chair Hornstein's opening remarks about this bill. And I appreciate the fact that he made mention of the deputy registers and the fact that we need to continue to look at the recovery of the deputy register ecosystem. But one of the things that this bill fails to do is look at the long-term sustainability of the deputy registers. The money that we've set aside for distribution is helpful. The fee increases for driver's licenses are helpful for some of the deputy registers, those full-service registers, but doesn't do much for the limited deputy registers. And I just want to point out that currently the deputy register ecosystem is losing about $20 million a year. That's what we're paying to subsidize the state. That's what we're paying out of our property taxpayers if you're a local unit of government deputy registrar, or out of your pocket if you're a private deputy registrar. And we appreciate the fact that we've made mention of this. We appreciate the fact that there's concerns about the deputy registers, but we really do need to think about the sustainability of this ecosystem. I think that there are some good building blocks in this bill and with the bill that's being put together in the other body. We look forward to working with Chair Hornstein and Representative Elkins, Chair Dibble, as we get to a completion of this legislative session. But we really do need to address the long-term sustainability of the deputy registers, and we hope we're able to do that. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hill. Now we have Aurora Vautrin, followed by Abby Hornberger from the Blue-Green Alliance. Please proceed.
My name is Aurora Vautrin, and I'm the Legislative Director for the Minnesota 100% campaign. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, and staff for the opportunity to testify today and for the work you've all done to put together a transportation omnibus bill full of individual solutions that, when packaged together, is a comprehensive approach to a cleaner, more affordable, more equitable transportation system that is long overdue. HF 2887 makes urgently needed investments in transit, active transportation, vehicle electrification, and road, street, and bridge maintenance through a balanced approach to funding sources and investments. This bill has many provisions we support, but I want to uplift the metro area sales tax dedicated to transit and the increased dedication of MVEST to Greater Minnesota Transit. The transit system we need requires ongoing, scaled, and dedicated revenue sources. And no single revenue source by itself will meet the state's full needs. This bill's mix of revenue options works as a whole, asking everyone to pitch in for a system that we all use every day. Our transportation system is how we stay connected. It's how we get to school, work, and shopping. It's how we go on vacation or get to away games with the people we love. Minnesotans need more and cleaner options for staying connected. Please do not miss the opportunity to act this year. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now we have Abby Hornberger from Blue Green Alliance, followed by Ryan Timlin from ATU.
Good morning, Chair, members of the committee. My name is Abby Hornberger. I'm the Minnesota Policy Organizer for the Blue Green Alliance. We are an organization uniting labor unions and environmental advocates seeking to solve today's environmental challenges in ways that create good quality, clean energy jobs to build a clean, prosperous, and equitable economy. We're excited to be here today alongside our labor and environmental partners who have been leading in this space in support of the transportation omnibus bill. I'll be brief. Today, we need to expand public transit lines into working class communities. Additionally, investments in our transportation infrastructure will create high-quality construction jobs in the state by workers who are ready to get to work, building systems that work for everyone. Investing in public transportation and passenger rail will connect Minnesota communities as well as neighboring states and create good-paying jobs around our state. From workers in St. Cloud and Crookston making union-made buses to union workers building out our light rail and bus rapid transit infrastructure, this can help us reduce our climate pollution driving climate change. Thank you, and I support this bill.
Thank you so very much. Now we have Ryan Timlin from ATU, followed by Sam Rockwell from Move Minnesota.
Hi, my name is Ryan Timlin. I'm president of Amalgamated Transit Union Local 1005. I'd like to thank the chair and the committee for having us come in and speak today. We represent roughly 2,000 transit workers throughout the state of Minnesota, mainly in the Twin Cities operating the Metro Transit system, but also in Rochester, Minnesota, operating Rochester Public Transit. One big thing I'd like to point out is one of the longstanding issues for funding for transit has never really been a dedicated source of funding, and that's a massive thing that is needed to fully fund the transit system, but also all the projects that exist out there that need to be done as well throughout the entire transportation system. Not only that, but fully funding the transit system will alleviate much of the traffic issues and environmental issues we are dealing with globally, but in the cities, as traffic picks up, we're already starting to see post-COVID rush hour levels of traffic. And to alleviate that, we need a fully funded system. And in order to do that, we also need the workforce to do that as well, too. I also would like to say, with that being said, one of the key things to help fund this work system is actually, you know, a standard of living. Inflation has been atrocious in attacking many working class families over the last few years. So one of the demands we are making at ATU Local 1005, and hopefully other unions make this demand as well to alleviate the stresses of all workers, is cost of living to help create stability for a living standard, a better standard of living for all workers, and to help out the economy as well. That is a demand we are making, cost of living plus one. But not only that, another major reason to fund the transit system is for the safety of the public and the workforce that operates the system. We need a massive amount of money to go in to help assist the safety issues that our workers are facing, PTSD issues, assault issues, assaults for those cleaning the platforms. These issues need to be addressed and fully funding for, you know, to assist in helping getting those who are homeless and addicted to drugs off the system and getting the assistance they need. Our members are fully dedicated to expanding the system, and that's why we needed a fully funded system to help expand this system and help alleviate the pressures out there that exist today. And I hope this bill passes. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Timlin. Now we have Sam Rockwell from Move Minnesota, followed by Jill Sims.
Thank you, Chair Tapke. Great to hear from ATU. The drivers are the backbone of our system. My name is Sam Rockwell. I'm Executive Director of Move Minnesota. And as members of the committee know here, and that's probably why you're on the committee, transportation touches nearly everything in our lives, right? It determines the opportunities we can access. It's our second highest household expense. It governs how much money is in our bank account. And depending on the mode, it can improve or harm health outcomes. And last and certainly not least, transportation is currently our greatest climate polluting sector and therefore our greatest opportunity to address climate change. We are really excited by Minnesota's potential future when we look at this bill. Specifically, I want to thank you for including significant long-term dedicated funding for transit. And we ask that you keep this significant amount in the bill. The provisions to ensure that MnDOT projects help meet Minnesota's greenhouse gas emissions and VMT reduction goals, and to ensure that land use planning is consistent with our greenhouse gas emission and VMT reduction targets. measures to create a transit ambassador program. Thank you, Chair Tapke, and right-size penalties for code of conduct violations and fare nonpayment that never should have been misdemeanors in the first place. Funding for active transportation, and we encourage the Metro sales tax dollars that are going to TAB to be used exclusively for those active transportation purposes. IIJA match dollars, initiatives to ensure our local transit system is as efficient as possible, including speeding up our buses and to launch a free fare pilot. And I could go on, and obviously had to write out bullet points here. It's a very exciting bill, makes us excited for the future, and thank you for all your work.
Thank you very much, Mr. Rockwell. Now we have Jill Sims, followed by Andrew Pounds.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Jill Sims, and I'm the Director of Government Relations at Hospitality Minnesota. We represent Minnesota's restaurants and food service, lodging, resort, and campground sectors. We're here today to talk to you about the retail delivery fee provision, and we greatly appreciate Representative Cagle's willingness to hear our concerns. Unfortunately, those provisions pertaining to the retail delivery fee will bear a significant burden on customers, employees, and businesses of the hospitality industry that are still recovering from the pandemic. Many Minnesotans rely on food delivery from their local favorite restaurants for a variety of reasons, and this bill does not account for the regressive impact the fee will have on working Minnesotans or those that are seniors or homebound. How is it equitable that a $15 meal delivery is held to the same delivery fee as a $1,500 item? Food orders are generally much smaller and more frequent than large ticket items. How are we accounting for food deliveries for those with accessibility needs, the working parent, or someone sick for an extended period of time? This fee establishes a penalty on individuals and families who seek meal delivery for whatever the reason. Additionally, we're concerned with some of the implementation challenges, which we've outlined in previously submitted questions. But most importantly, how will this pertain to the third-party delivery orders, and how will that interact with our restaurants? There are complexities to implementing this policy that are problematic and haven't yet been addressed. So for that reason, we ask that you remove the 75-cent retail delivery fee. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And we Andrew Pounds is not here, so we move to Darwin Schaeferlein, followed by Soslin Temminson. Darwin? All right, so we're going to hold off on that. Soslin Temminson, followed by Jack Kimbler.
So I want to say thank you so much for allowing me to come and testify, and thank you for the opportunity. And I also want to give a shout out to the gal that we kind of been in contact with the email. Thank you so much for your hard work. I think it's important that we take a look at the railroad system, because how many more derailments have to happen before something travesty happened in the state of Minnesota? We see what happened in Ohio. And I think that there should be some allocations of at least a good chunk, about $3.5 million within the two-year span to really investigate, updating the railroad system costs, to updating the codes. And I think if we take a deep look of how, when the last time the railroads were updated, I think if we take a look at that and reconstruct it and refix the areas that are kind of in the danger zone, I think we can prevent railroad incidents. I'd like to apologize. And another one is, I think we should also allocate more money to town and cities and municipalities in the rural areas to rebuild the roads, because if you go by St. Cloud, the potholes are absolutely atrocious. And I think if we fix those, if we give money through Pell Grants, we can alleviate the municipalities from taking it and coming up with their funds on their own. So that's thank you so much for the opportunity.
And before you go, could you please state your name for the record?
Oh, yes. My name is Soslin.
Last name?
Timminson.
Thank you, Soslin. I appreciate it. Darwin?
Yes.
Darwin.
Sorry, I'm totally within the other room.
That's all right. Darwin Schaeferlein, followed by Jack Kimbler. So if Jack is here, you can take the other seat.
Awesome.
Thank you, Jack.
Thank you.
Say your name
Chair.
For the record, and please proceed.
Awesome. Thank you, Chair and members of the committee. My name is Darwin Schaeferlein, and I am a Bloomington resident. This bill is transformative on a number of levels, and my friends and I have fought hard to make many inclusions on this omnibus bill. I, like many others here, don't use a car and ride public transportation to get to where I need to go. On the way to this committee hearing, I saw empty roads in rush hour with few cars in sight, but on the Orange Line bus alone, I saw dozens of more people than were driving out on the roads, proving the need for more public transportation in Minnesota. Increasing the sales tax and funding BRT and bus network upgrades, this omnibus bill will improve our bus system in desperate need of service improvements to be more accessible and attractive to riders. Even greater, This bill includes funding for much-needed intercity passenger rail upgrades, including the TCMC Amtrak line, as well as Northern Lights Express. Passenger rail that is bidirectional, reliable, and frequent is the key to a successful state transportation network. Our generation needs options, and the U.S. is seeing brain drain from those of us who are leaving to places that do have quality passenger rail. By committing to Northern Lights Express and TCMC, Minnesota lays the groundwork for connecting the state together through transportation options that are sustainable, high capacity, and bring Minnesotans together. My only request is that this omnibus bill includes the funding to complete U.S. Bicycle Route 41, aka the North Star Bikeway. Completing the trail will allow even further transportation options in the corridor from the Twin Cities to the Arrowhead region of Minnesota, and combined with NLX, will truly kickstart a sustainable future for Minnesota. Thank you for letting me testify, and I hope this consideration is heard.
Thank you so very much. Now we have Jack Kimbler, followed by Katie Brinkman.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Jack Kimbler, and I'm from Pequot Lakes. I support House File 2887, but I also want to bring light to an important issue that's only somewhat addressed by this bill. The state's gasoline tax exclusively funds Minnesota's highways and bridges, but this excise tax is becoming more and more obsolete as years go by. With the electric vehicle market larger and more accessible to Minnesotans than ever before, less and less revenue will be available for the state to fund maintenance and upkeep of its roads. Even worse, electric vehicles are on average heavier than their gasoline-powered counterparts, causing more damage to our roads that will cost Minnesotans more to repair and maintain. We need an alternative form of taxation that includes all road vehicles, not just gasoline ones. I suggest that the state of Minnesota should tax vehicles by their weight rather than by energy source or mileage. The vehicles that do the most damage to our roads are the heaviest. We should raise vehicle registration fees to match the cost of damage the vehicle does to the road that it drives on. This will not only provide a stream of dependable revenue for the state, but also create incentives to drive lighter vehicles that do less damage to our roads, or even to forego car ownership in favor of public transit, reducing congestion on our roads. The state will have higher quality roads for a lower cost to the taxpayer. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now we have Katie Brinkman, followed by Jim Hurst.
Hi. Thank you, Chair and committee members, for your work on this bill and the vision it casts for Minnesota's future. My name is Katie Brinkman, and I'm a student at St. Olaf College. Last Saturday afternoon, on my way back to Northfield from an event in Minneapolis, I was heading west on Highway 394 when suddenly my accelerator and brakes stopped working. By the time my car made it to an auto shop, the last of the only two total daily trips between Minnesota Airport and Northfield had already left. If it weren't for incredibly generous friends, I wouldn't have had a way back to campus until service on my car completed yesterday, nearly 5 days later. Given the nearly 5,000 students living in Northfield, this is a small example of the tremendous gaps of accessibility that exist in our state. Transit is not just about getting people from place to place, but about ensuring that people have access to essential resources and opportunities. In addition to transportation initiatives that already exist in the metro, such as the Skyways and the Bike Share program, it is critical that we imagine and fund an expansive network of high-frequency light rail and bus systems in the metro area, along with regional passenger rail, all of which will contribute to creating a safe, sustainable, and equitable future for Minnesota. Investing in transit is an investment in our climate future and in every single Minnesotan, and it is worth every penny. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now we have Jim Hurst, followed by Julie Hansen. Please proceed.
Thank you. Good morning. For the record, I'm Jim Hurst. I'm here today on behalf of the Minnesota Deputy Registrars Association, representing the vast majority of our state's deputy registrars across Minnesota. First of all, I would like to thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members, Chair Hornstein, for inclusion of Article 5, an entire article dedicated to our issues. Very much appreciate that. It is modeled after last year's agreement that stalled out at the end of session. However, I do wish to point out a couple of omissions that are in the DE amendment. Specifically, there is no language pertaining to an appeals process where deputies lose their access to the MnDrive system. Further, and in addition to that, there's also no language providing camera equipment and eye exam equipment to limited deputy officers who wish to become full service operators in that regard. However, what I really want to underscore, which was touched on earlier, is the fact that the sustainability of these offices is horribly undermined currently. That is due to the fact that the filing fees have not been raised substantially over the last decade, and in conjunction with the transition to MNLARS and then MnDrive, the department then shifted about 40% more workload onto these offices. So when you combine the fact that we're doing more work for the same amount of pay and then loss of transactions due to online services, which currently 50% of all tab transactions are bypassing our offices, and probably by the end of this year, a lot of driver's license transactions will also follow suit in that same regard. So therefore, it is critical that not only do we address the filing fees that we have historically relied on to pay all of our expenses, but to also enter into a revenue sharing solution with the department. And these are both critical and highly recommended by the independent expert review, which Article 5 is based on. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hurst. Now I've got Julie Hansen, followed by Peter Wagenius.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for the opportunity to testify. My name is Julie Hansen. I'm the Scott County Property and Customer Service Manager. I'm here today testifying on behalf of Scott County, the Minnesota Association of County Officers, and MICA, the Minnesota Intercounty Association. You've heard some comments already about the Deputy Registrar's portions of the bill. I won't repeat those. What I do want to bring up is something a little bit different. On page 50, I'm sorry, I apologize. On page 119 of the Delete Everything Amendment, it states, from Minnesota Statute 171.061, subdivision 4, except as provided in paragraph C, which refers to driver's license equipment, the fee shall, which in this amendment is now being changed to must, cover all expenses involved in receiving, accepting, or forwarding to the department the applications and fees required. The cost of accepting a driver's license application is currently $20. The filing fee is $8. Even with the proposed increases in this bill, this does not make us whole. We are falling short, and I know my partners across the state are facing the same issue. What we're asking you to do is to simply follow what's already in statute. Thank you again for the opportunity to testify today.
Thank you very much. Now we have Peter Wagenius, followed by Gary Burdorf. Please state your name for the record and proceed when you're ready.
Thank you. I'm Peter Wagenius from Sierra Club. This bill is what the moment demands for the climate crisis, for economic justice, for public health, and more. In passing this bill, you are seizing the moment. Thank you. Our one concern is related to active transportation. A broad coalition has asked you to dedicate 10% of the sales tax revenue to walking and biking. The current language says that 16%, or 1/6, could be used for active transportation, but it's not dedicated. The TAB could spend that elsewhere. The success of our expanded transit system depends in part on people's ability to walk, bike, and roll to transit stations. This is especially important in suburban communities where sidewalks are too often entirely missing near transit lines. We should also address how those active transportation dollars are governed. As noted on Transit Equity Day, we won't get equity in public policy if people are not represented equally in the decision-making process. For example, when votes are allocated on a decision-making board by jurisdiction rather than population, then people are not equal. Should Carver County be part of our transportation plans? Of course. But ask a resident of Ramsey County if they consider themselves to be less than 1/5 of a person compared to residents of Carver County. For that matter, is a resident of Hennepin County 1/12 of a person? No. In conclusion, Chair Hornstein has made the case that the Met Council as currently structured is not what is needed for future governance. Neither is the TAB, which does not represent citizens equally by population. Please consider this change, and thank you again for this historic legislation.
Thank you very much. Now we have Gary Burdorf, followed by Corey Marshall.
Yes, Mr. Chair and committee.
I am Gary Berdorf. I'm president of the Minnesota Association of Townships. Thank you for granting me this time. I want to say that all Minnesota townships appreciate all you've done for us. It all helps, but to be quite frank, the amount we get is only a Band-Aid, and the wound is getting a lot bigger than that Band-Aid. I'm from Green Isle Township in Sibley County. We, like most other Minnesota townships, experienced terrible roads in the spring. To help us, we installed a tile down the middle of a road. We did 1 mile. With fixing frost boils from 2021 and doing the 1 mile of tile cost us about $90,000 for that 1 mile. I do have pictures before and after, if you like, but the tile really has helped us. The road is in good shape, pretty darn good shape this spring. For the money I've seen proposed, with 1,780 townships in Minnesota, each township might receive about $12,000, not enough to tile 1 mile of road for sure. That does not keep up with the inflation of all else that we need to cover. These roads take our kids to school, carry emergency service vehicles. We do have a handicapped person in our township that was homebound because of the roads were that terrible. They could not get the vehicle in to get her out. We need to get our goods to market on those same roads. We do need your help desperately. I am happy to give the committee a tour of our township roads if you wish, but please be advised, bring your boots. We appreciate your consideration. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Berdorf. Now we have Corey Marshall on Zoom, so you could please unmute yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair. Can you hear me?
Yep, we can hear you. Please proceed.
Good afternoon, Chair and distinguished members of the committee. My name is Corey Marshall, and I serve as the Director of State and Local Government Relations for the Chamber of Progress. We urge your committee to strongly revise HF 2887 to oppose a retail delivery fee, which would create the country's highest tax of its kind, significantly increasing the financial burden on consumers and businesses in the state of Minnesota. Many families working long hours, students, the elderly, the disabled community, and those living in rural and remote localities depend on affordable and accessible delivery services for prescriptions and other essentials. Some may believe that delivery services are a luxury, but we know better, or is a convenience, but for a growing number of Minnesotans, they have become a necessity. The rising cost of food and other necessities falls especially hard on lower income households. Imposing a delivery tax not only creates a regressive tax on poor consumers, but also limits opportunities for gig workers. Raising the cost for delivery would encourage consumers to place fewer orders and reduce earnings for workers. Finally, a delivery tax would discourage deliveries and encourage more people to get in their car to pick up products, further increasing road usage and greenhouse gas emissions. Rather than several individual vehicles traveling to and from their homes to shopping centers, a delivery service is able to deliver multiple households along one single trip. If signed into law, Minnesotans would pay the highest delivery tax in the country, the highest delivery tax in the country. We strongly urge you to remove the delivery fee from this omnibus bill and instead prioritize lifting up the most vulnerable populations while supporting economic growth and opportunities for all Minnesotans. Thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you very much, Mr. Marshall. Now we have Dorian Grilly from Bicycle Alliance of Minnesota, followed by Lisa Kahns.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Dorian Grilly. I'm the Executive Director of the Bicycle Alliance of Minnesota. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today. There are a lot of things that we strongly support in this bill. We know that biking and walking are not the solution to reducing greenhouse gas emissions, the public health crisis, and community sustainability, but we do know that the return on investment is very, very high. Communities in every corner of Minnesota know the benefits of robust Safe Routes to School programming and active transportation infrastructure investments. They know these investments will make their communities great places to live, raise a family, and locate a business. But we believe that the investment in active transportation and Safe Routes to School in House File 2887 should be higher, should be ongoing as part of MnDOT's general fund base, and as members of the Transportation Forward Coalition, we ask that the active transportation portion of the Metro sales tax be dedicated. The Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act provided the Metropolitan Council with an additional $150 million for their two-year regional solicitation for active transportation projects. It says something that they were able to spend it in one funding cycle, still only funding high-priority projects in 55 communities. As I said, we are very supportive of many things that this bill does, way too many to list here. But I will say that we would be honored to serve on the Advisory Council on Traffic Safety. As members of the Transportation Forward Coalition, we believe that biking, walking, and rolling and transit should be safe, convenient, affordable, and equitable. We know that these types of investments cannot wait until next year and hope that a greater investment can be made. Thank you for the opportunity to testify on behalf of our supporters who live in every corner of Minnesota.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Chair Hornstein.
Before Mr. Grilley leaves, I just want to say on the record that Mr. Grilley received the National Bike Advocate of the Year Award at the National Bike Summit, and I wanted to congratulate you personally.
Thank you. Congratulations, Mr. Grilley, and thank you for testifying. Now we have Lisa from the Minnesota Safety Council.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Lisa Kahns. I am the Traffic Safety Program Manager at the Minnesota Safety Council. Traffic safety is an issue in Minnesota. We all saw the dramatic increase in speeds and aggressive driving during COVID. A normal day in Minnesota pre-COVID was one fatality, 100 injuries, 200 crashes, and $4.5 million in losses. Two out of three crashes occur in the metro. Three out of four fatalities occur in greater Minnesota. We are about 20% worse off than this today. House File 2887 has many proactive traffic safety provisions. It formally establishes a Traffic Safety Advisory Council, creates a Safe Road Zones program to help target local roads of concern, fixes a hands-free loophole, and funds law enforcement training and overtime, rural highway road improvements, and some key studies and reports. We ask you to support House File 2887. There are about 25 million appropriations for the safety members I previously described. If we can prevent five normal days a year on our roadways, we come out way ahead. Thank you again for the chance to support House File 2887.
Thank you very much, Ms. Kahns. Now we're going to move on to the DE1 amendment. So it is before us right now. And Chair Hornsey, do you have anything that you'd like to say before we get into the amendments to the amendment?
The DE has moved, and we'll get to the amendments.
Wonderful. All right. Thank you very much. So we are first going to take the A28 amendment, which is Chair Hornstein's.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And the A28 is just a series of technical corrections and clarifications that were brought to our attention by our analyst. So it's a technical amendment, and you know, Mr. Burris can speak to that.
Thank you. Any questions or discussion on that? Would you like Mr. Burris to walk through the amendment, or are we good just adopting it?
If the committee has any questions, they can direct them to Mr. Burris. Otherwise, I would move adoption of the amendment.
Representative Petersburg.
Thank you. Just a brief walkthrough just to make verification that it is indeed just correcting technical issues from Mr. Burris. That would be great.
Mr. Burris?
Mr. Chair and members, so a number of issues that were identified in the course of reviewing the Delete All Amendment. Several are terminology, drafting, rephrasings, aligning with standards, an oversight on effective date. So it's a couple of cleanup things. One thing to note is on page 2, let's see, lines 1 to 6, there's an additional rider added. That was an oversight in what was intended originally in the bill as far as providing funding for a change that's being made in conjunction with the independent expert review changes in Article 5. And then there's a technical clarification on how the account merger that's in the delete all could be handled when there are appropriations out of one of the merged accounts that's made in a different bill. And so that addition is starting at 2.23. And then also of note, starting at 3.16, there is a cross-reference to a statutory definition. That statutory definition is not actually currently in law. It was proposed in another section that's not being codified or established in the delete all amendment. So that definition is instead pulled into the section where the term is being used. Then there are a number of, again, typos and various types of resolving, drafting standards and so forth. And then on page 4, starting at line 15, there's something of a rework of language around allocation of funds, and this is in the independent expert review article. The crux of that is to establish a July 1 effective date so that the account merger changes happen on July 1, but retain the delayed effective date of some of the reallocation of revenue. And that is a similar approach that's taken starting on page 5, line 29 of the amendment. So in both cases, the substantive effect is the same as the delete all amendment, but it handles the account merger so that that happens July 1st.
Thank you very much, Mr. Burris. Any further questions? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A28 amendment, please say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? The motion prevails. All right, now we move on to the A29 amendment. Mr. Chair.
Thanks. Mr. Chair, and I have there are several items in this amendment that I'd like to call the committee's attention to. On page 1, we have a new project that came to our attention just very recently involving some safety issues around a school on the Iron Range, also near a rail grade crossing, and so we're incorporating this into the bill. We also want to make sure that the corridors of commerce language that Representative Torkelson had brought to our committee is included. There was, I had contemplated some potential changes to this in terms of the allocation formula, but upon revisiting that, I feel that the original Torkelson language is acceptable, and so that is, we're including that in the DE amendment. And so that's quite a bit of the DE amendment, in fact. In terms of, so that goes actually through line 7. And then finally, members, in consultation with Representative Petersburg, we're making some changes to, on the top of page 991 is a bill that I strongly support, and upon discussing this with members on both sides of the aisle, there was a lot of consensus around adding the term legally blind to those with the disability parking. This is from Leader Damuth, so we're going to include that in the bill. And then finally, members, at the end of page 9, these are a number of changes that Representative Petersburg and I came to consensus on regarding the makeup of the task force that will be reviewing options for governance on the Metropolitan Council. I'll have actually a short oral amendment later on to that. I don't know if you want to take these oral amendments now, committee discussion, but that is the author's A29 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And yeah, let's walk through the oral amendments now. And if you could pull your microphone a little closer for us.
Sorry about that, Mr. Chair.
So, yeah, if you would walk through the oral amendments okay. at this point.
So, on page one, line 10, the number should be $3 million for pre-design and engineering. And then on 1.18, the number should be $6 million. So those numbers are were just inverted, and the oral amendment would correct those. And do you want to take these one by one or just go through all of them?
Just go through all of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then second, on page 7, and it's my intent, and I'll ask Mr. Burris for some direction here. When we reviewed subdivision 4, and this is 7.21 through 3.2, we were a little concerned about the addition of traffic control in terms of debt collections, fines, penalties, et cetera. What this really refers to is if somebody is experiencing a problem on a roadway and there needs to be a directional sign or arrow put, erected. We don't know whether that individual is at fault or there's an issue that is beyond their control. They would have to pay for that sign. We felt that was potentially a problematic. So the intention is to delete the new language on 7.25, but I don't know, Mr. Burris, if we need to deal with that entire section or not, but I did want to explain my intent there.
Mr. Burris.
Mr. Chair, Representative Petersburg, if you don't want that language, then the rest of the section addition is moot because there are no other changes. So
okay.
What I would recommend if that's what you want to pursue would be the deletion of that entire
okay.
section.
So then the oral amendment would also include deleting lines 21 to 32 on page 7. And that would also apply to deleting lines 1 and 2 on page 8. And then finally, members, again, this is a conversation I had with Lead Petersburg. We both felt that I'm referring now to page 9, and then the oral amendment would include after line 13, inserting on page 109, line 10, after its insert the word legislative. And the intent of that, Mr. Chair and members, is that we would have legislative leadership on the Met Council task force. However the task force would want to do this, Representative Petersburg and I'm modeling this after a task force that we served on related to highway use expenditures. In that case, we had Chair Dibble and Representative Petersburg co-chairing that task force, and I thought it worked out pretty well. We wanted to include that in terms of the governance of this task force. We're also reducing the number of members as well. And again, this is out of conversations I had with the lead.
All right, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. So just to be very clear with everyone, what we are, the oral amendment to the A29 is page 1, line 10, delete $6 million and insert $3 million. Page 1, line 18, delete $3 million and insert $6 million. Page 7, delete lines 21 through 32. Page 8, delete lines 1 and 2. Page 9, after line 13, insert page 109. Line 10, after its, insert legislative. So that's the oral amendment to the A29. Any questions on the oral changes there? All right, everyone's on the same page. So now discussion on the A29 amendment. Any questions? Representative
sure.
Petersburg.
I would move the oral amendments. I think you have to do the oral amendments first and then the other amendments, correct?
We have to. Okay. Thank you very much. So Chair Petersburg, Representative Petersburg moves to incorporate the A29 author's amendment to the A29, the oral amendments to the A29 amendment. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? All right, the motion prevails, and now we've got the A29 as amended in front of us. Any questions on that? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The motion prevails. So we have A29 has been adopted. And we move on to the A6 amendment. And the A6 amendment is Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. A6 and A8 have already been incorporated in the previous amendment, so I am pulling both the A6 and the A8 as they are now included.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Representative Petersburg. Now we've got the A2 amendment, which is my amendment. And so, Chair, would you like to move the A2 amendment?
I will move the A2.
The A2 is minor clarifications and a couple switches, not a couple switches, technical clarifications to the transit safety bills that we've been working on. Does anyone have questions on these? Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And if I understand the amendment, you are eliminating the need for the individuals to be members or at least staff of Met Council. My concern is, how does that deal with liability on both the employee or subcontractor, whatever, compared to the others? It seems to me that kind of, without them being members of the staff, isn't there some liability issues with that?
Yeah, thank you for the question, Representative Petersburg. So the question, the request for this is, I would very much prefer for folks to be employees of Met Council and fall under that umbrella. But the intent is still for everyone to be employees of Met Council and work that way in the TRIP program. And so with that, they'd also like the ability to hire community folks and different organizations that are nonprofit organizations as contract with them as well to help. Like right now, there are various organizations that are helping on the Lake Street platform and different places like that for assisting, like the city of Minneapolis is hiring folks. So it would be similar to that for the ability to broaden the reach on who we can utilize for making sure that we have the safest possible transit system. Representative Peter Burgett.
Thank you. So if I understand it, then this wouldn't preclude them from being members. It just allows for subcontracting, et cetera, and it doesn't change the responsibility that they are still underneath the supervision of Met Council or whoever governing body is.
You are correct? Yes, you are absolutely correct.
All right. Thank you.
Further questions? Representative Chair Hornstein.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chair Tapke. And I have reviewed this amendment and had a conversation with Chair Tapke, and it would be my intention to urge the committee to accept this amendment.
Thank you very much, Chair Hornstein. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The motion prevails. Next, we go to the A1 amendment, which is Representative Cagle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the A1 amendment is kind of some of the clarification modifications to the delivery fee. It specifies when the fee is refundable. Not so if an order is canceled, it's a refundable fee, but if it's delivered, then it's not. Makes passing the fee on to the consumer optional. One of the things we heard from Colorado was that a lot of these businesses actually wanted to absorb the cost of it. And then also exempts small businesses and delivery and the delivery fee from like permitted vehicles that MnDOT permits for delivery. So like if you're delivering a manufactured house or something along those lines, it's kind of silly because they're already getting a permit for that. And then also exempts retailers with sales of $1 million or less. And then, but then if you're on a third party app, it would be $100,000 or less on that app. And so if you're on DoorDash or multiple apps, we did not get, we put the amendment in and we're waiting for the revenue note. The revenue note came late yesterday. So I just wanted to talk about this amendment, offer it, and then withdraw it so that folks know that this is what we're working on as far as the small business exemptions and some of the clarification around the lessons learned in Colorado.
Thank you. So Chair Cagle withdraws the A1 amendment, but we'll still discuss and make sure that everybody's on the same page understanding. Chair Hornstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you very much for bringing this forward. Representative Cagle, I appreciate how you have listened to some of the concerns that have been raised. and are responding to those, particularly in this amendment, the issues that small businesses have raised. And so I look forward to continuing to work with you and addressing, again, the concerns that have been raised in public testimony and letters, and you've had countless meetings in your office, I understand, trying to work through these issues so that we can get this right. And so I appreciate it, and I appreciate your not rushing the fiscal note through the committee here so that we have an opportunity to review it, and we'll be making a couple more stops with this bill and be able to incorporate this amendment and the fiscal note. So thank you very much, Representative Cagle, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. All right, so we're going to move on to the A7 amendment now, which is Representative Kraft.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the A7 incorporates some feedback we've received from MnDOT on some language tweaks, as well as changing a greenhouse gas analysis time horizon to something that's more workable for them from 50 years to 20 years, changing a target setting timeline from every 4 years to every 5 years, and then also putting some of the language in a more appropriate place in statute into the State Highway Investment Plan instead of the Multimodal Transportation Plan.
Thank you very much, Representative Kraft. Chair Hornstein.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I would urge the committee to accept this amendment. I just wanted to make a quick comment of appreciation for Representative Kraft. Like Representative Cagle's bill, this is new, this is innovative. It is very forward-looking in terms of how we address greenhouse gases in the transportation sector. And with that, Representative Kraft has also had a lot of interest and feedback. Countless meetings in his office, correspondence with people that are concerned. I received a very thorough and important letter from Mr. Bott at the I-94 Coalition. He's here, raised some issues. Representative Kraft immediately responded to him. They will continue the conversation. Also with local governments. So as this bill evolves, I'm very confident that Representative Kraft will address concerns. He's done that. But I'll also say that with any new and forward-looking and bold proposal, you're going to get this, but we need to stay on track. This is really very, very important legislation that Representative Kraft is incorporating here. Land use is one of the key areas in which we reduce greenhouse gas emissions in the transportation sector. And so I appreciate your work with different interested parties. We'll continue to move forward, and thank you for bringing this forward. And again, I would urge a yes vote on the A7.
And Mr. Chair, just so I'm correct, is our intent now to accept this? Because we were intending, because this has a fiscal component, to withdraw this amendment before we... That's the next one? Okay. I'm on the wrong one. I apologize.
Yeah.
So the A7 will be accepting. Representative Pusberg.
Thank you. And if I could ask the author of this amendment, what are you envisioning as being the procedures and guidance for capacity expansion? Does that include the ability to veto the expansion project, or what is your thoughts?
Representative Kraft.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Pusberg. So that's not in the context of the amendment. That's in the DE itself. And that spells out that there's a process for MnDOT to go through to, in looking at a capacity expansion project that may increase emissions, to be able to try to offset it within that project or within the region, or then if not within the state. So that is the process that's in the language.
Representative Pusberg.
Yeah, thank you. Well, this particular amendment, on 2.20, it says that it will establish the procedures and guidance for capacity expansion. And so that means that it will be developing some rules and regulations around that expansion project. And I was just curious what your thought was. It looks like, sounds like, that is still uncertain about that. But thank you for that information.
Further questions? Chair Hornstein, any closing comments on this?
I appreciate this amendment, and I'd urge the committee to vote yes.
Thank you very much. All those in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Aye.
The motion prevails. Now we go to A30, Representative Kraft.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. So as you mentioned, I'll talk about this, and then we'll withdraw it because of some fiscal considerations that need to be worked at as in the overall context of the bill. This is based on additional work with council and Metro Cities and how to best incorporate what we're doing within the current process that Met Council has. So it's moving the climate work from the system plans to the development guide, and it is also just clarifying that how this process will work to fit in as best as possible with the current comprehensive planning process.
Chair Weinstein.
I again appreciate this amendment and your continued work on it, and we will address this once we hear, get more clarity on the fiscal considerations. So thank you, and we'll continue to work together on it.
Thank you. Any questions on this A30? All right, seeing none, the amendment has been withdrawn, so we're going to move on to the A3 amendment from Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Every October and November, people in the state of Minnesota wake up and realize that their house is cold and that they, in fact, have run out of fuel in their furnace tanks, and that all of a sudden creates a real panic in their lives, which then they call their fuel company, and then their fuel company has to try and provide that heating source while at the same time we're harvesting in the fields. This becomes a real issue in southern Minnesota, where we're utilizing this fuel also as grain drying. And at some points, our fuel providers are required to kind of either ration or provide quotas or say, hey, we'll get you when we can. We are one of only two states, us and Massachusetts, that will require the governor of the state to provide an executive order that would kind of expand the fuel hauler's hours of operations. Everyone else, all other 48 states in our union, allow the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration to declare an emergency, which would then release the fuel haulers from that very strict and necessary hours of operations on and off. What this amendment will do is it will just allow us to do what all the other 48 states in the union do, which is when the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration determines that there is, in fact, a regional or a national emergency with regard to fuel, that entity can then release our obligations for some of our fuel haulers to expand their hours of service, right? It's not expanding it to a point where it becomes incredibly dangerous, but over a set period of time, they get a couple more hours in which they can haul fuel in the fall of the year to make sure that we do not leave Minnesotans out in the cold.
Thank you very much, Representative Olson. Chair Hornstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Olson, for bringing this. This is a reasonable and good amendment, and I would urge the committee to support it.
Thank you, Chair Hornstein. And this is, I thank Representative Olson for bringing this forward. This is a bill of mine that we did not have a chance to have come through committee beforehand. So I just appreciate everyone's support of this bill. Any questions? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A3 amendment, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Anyone opposed? The motion prevails. Now we move on to the A11 amendment. Representative Petersburg.
Thank you. So the A11 amendment is really dealing with something that we had a bill on in regards to COVID pandemic public transportation report and reporting. You know, as we deal with transit and public transit out there, it's important to know where we can change things, where we can improve things. Even with business, the businesses that are most effective are those that can respond quickly to changes and needs. And COVID has made quite a change in a lot of people's habits in regards to going into work, not going into work. And so I think this particular study is one that would be very helpful for this particular body and this particular committee in order to know exactly where and what we need to do to improve our system. If we can find efficiencies, that means there'll be dollars for other parts of the transit system as well that for expansion, but without this study, I think it's we would be just kind of working in the dark. So this is a request to have the study made based upon post-COVID results compared to where we are today.
Thank you very much, Representative Petersburg. Chair Hornstein.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Lead Petersburg, for this. I support it. We heard this bill in committee. The background on this is that back in the 2021 negotiations on the transportation bill, there was a consensus on both sides of the aisle that we should do a study like this. Originally, it was MnDOT. I think it's more properly done by the Metropolitan Council.
And I think the additions that you've made represent Petersburg to the scope of the study are appropriate, and I urge a yes vote.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Any discussion or questions? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The A311 pass. The A11 passes. I don't know what A311 is, but that was there. Sorry.
We don't have that many amendments, Mr. Chair.
Right. Now, so the A11 has passed, and so now we move on to the A13. Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I would like to move this amendment as well. This amendment in the DE1, there is a stipulation that if there is substantial reorganization of Met Council, that we would no longer need the Southwest Light Rail reporting section. And this actually says that, no, we should probably keep getting that report because we don't know if that will occur or not. But in either case, I think it's been a controversial enough subject that I think the legislature and this body should continue to get those reports. It sounds like there'll only be a couple more years before it finally gets up and running, so maybe it's only a couple years worth, but I think it's still worthy of us having that reporting there. So I would request a yes on that one.
Chair Hornstein.
Thank you very much. I've had a chance to talk to Representative Petersburg about this. I agree with his intention. It's a lot of reporting, but I think there is a lot of there are a lot of issues with this project. So. As much sunshine as we can shed on it, I think is helpful, and I would support the amendment.
Any questions on the A13 amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The motion prevails. Now we move on to the A21 amendment. Representative Fogelman. Sorry about that.
I'd like to move the A21 amendment. The A21... One amendment is to eliminate the 75-cent delivery fee tax. I know Rep. Cagle said she is working on things, but right now our state is facing economic uncertainty with rising prices on almost everything, and it's yet another unnecessary burden for our citizens and businesses. In 2022, Colorado was the first to impose this delivery fee. Let's not follow their example by hindering economic growth and increasing costs to citizens. With their fee, which was only 27 cents, they received significant blowback from consumers, many compliance issues, as well as a lawsuit challenging the fee. If people aren't aware, Minnesota is number 6 for people leaving the state. We need to do more to encourage business growth and attract more residents to raise revenue and grow our economy. If we continue to overtax our citizens and businesses, the number of people exiting the state will continue to rise and increase the burden to remaining Minnesotans even more. Let's not be a leader of having the highest delivery fee in the country. This fee is wrong for our state. I ask for a roll call on this amendment, and I ask you to vote yes on the amendment. Thank you.
Chair Hornstein.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Fogelman, for bringing the amendment. I oppose it. The delivery fee is a key building block for the new revenue that is desperately needed to fix our roads and bridges. This is exclusively related to our road and bridge infrastructure. And so for that reason, I urge a no vote, and again, applaud Chair Cagle for her approach to this, which is to address some of the issues that have been raised. I think the small business exemption that we heard about earlier is very, very important, and as is the revenue in this proposal. So, again, I would urge a no vote.
Lee Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, as we heard in testimony quite a few times yesterday and today, this is a fairly regressive tax. And I know that Chair Cagle is working on trying to make it less regressive, and I applaud her for doing that. But the point is that sometimes we need to continually think about our things that we're doing here in the context of the whole. And it's easy even for committees to think of themselves as a silo and not realize how it impacts what they do with other committees. I mean, we're going to be talking about a bunch of taxes, and Mr. Chair, I know you need to raise some revenue and constitutionally dedicated funding sources as well. And so this certainly is a valid approach. It is a it is something that's new. It does go quite a large way to being the largest in the United States. But when we start thinking about not only this tax, which is a tax, even though it's considered a fee, plus the 0.75% sales tax, plus housing is now pushing for a 0.25% sales tax, all of a sudden we realize how much of an impact that's going to be. Now, if we aren't able to change the impact that Chair Cagle is trying to do for lower companies, just to give you an example, a $18 pizza delivery for Domino's with the 1% sales tax plus a 75-cent sales tax fee is going to raise that price by 93 cents. That's a 5% growth just for what we're doing here. And that is going to impact people. If you think about a dollar, even if you do one a particular delivery charge a day or so, that's a dollar a day. That's quite large. So anyway, I do think that this maybe has grown a little bit farther than it should be. And so I would also recommend a yes vote, because I think it's important to know that this is very regressive. It is going to hit harder to those that are dealing with day-to-day issues as well. And I just think it's a little too much. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think that the taxes that we're proposing here in this bill and the increases in these is just absolutely outstanding. Like, it's amazing to think of how much money we are trying to take from our citizens. And this 75-cent delivery fee, although, yeah, 3/4, you know, everyone can just pass that off and say, oh, it's 3/4. But remember, the people who are delivering this, you've got the 75-cent delivery tax fee, but the people who are delivering it, they paid the motor vehicle sales tax on the vehicle that they purchased to make that delivery. They're paying the gas tax on the gas that they purchased to make that delivery. When they got their license, they paid a fee for their license. How many times can we stack a tax on top of our people? It's just, it's very creatively done in how many times we can stack a tax and double tax and triple tax and find a way to eke out every single penny in this bill. It's absolutely amazing how creative our almost money-grubbing people here in the state of Minnesota have become.
Representative Cagle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So just want to kind of address some of the points that have been made. The lawsuit that is going on in Colorado is because Colorado is a taxpayer bill of rights. Minnesota does not have that, so there won't be any challenges like there were in Colorado. So I've been serving on this committee since I first got elected, and like I said during my testimony, the testimony from the advocates has never changed. The need is great. Our roads are in disrepair. Do we need another bridge to fall before we decide to fix it? I have offered the indexing of the gas tax. We've heard that, you know, gas tax is the only fair way. We've offered multiple ways to raise revenues, and I've always just been told no. We need to find a way to fix our system. Every business in the state relies on our transportation system. All of us rely on the transportation system, whether we drive or we don't. We get the mail every day. We get packages to deliver to our house. When I'm sitting in my basement, I still get stuff at my doorstep. So unless we just want to say, meh, roads are good, we're fine, unless we want to say to our construction, our LIUNA folks here, that they don't really need the work and that this isn't something that's worth investing in, then what are we doing? We have to at some point say, yes, this is a worthy cause, and we need to figure out how to fund it. So if this isn't the mechanism, fine. Tell me what is. Nobody is excited about raising fees and taxes. We don't like it. But we also don't like seeing the, you know, Titanic-sized pothole out in front of the state office building. And so we can't stop. We have to start looking at how we're going to do this
in the future and how we're going to take care of our roads and bridges so that that Domino's pizza delivery driver can get to my house. So please vote no.
Chair Hornstein, any comments before we go to Representative Fogelberg, final comment?
I think that Representative Cagle spoke very eloquently and accurately about why we need this fee.
Representative Fogelman.
Thank you, Chair. You're right. It's not fun to tax. It's not. And we got an $18 billion surplus. What's our biggest job to do in government? Roads, bridges, and safety. So let's use it for that. Thank you. Vote yes.
All right, roll call has been called. Mr. Petrie, please call the roll.
Hornstein.
No.
Hornstein, no. Tabke.
Nope.
Tabke, no. Petersburg.
Yes.
Petersburg, yes. Brand excused. Elkins.
No.
Elkins, no. Fogelman.
Yes.
Fogelman, yes. Hudella.
Yes.
Hudella, yes. Cagle.
No.
Cagle, no. Kraft.
No.
Kraft, no. Murphy excused. Nelson.
No.
Nelson, no. Norris.
No.
Norris, no. No. Olson.
Yes.
Olson, yes. Sensor Mira.
No.
Sensor Mira, no. West.
Yes.
West, yes.
With 5 ayes and 8 nays, the motion does not prevail. Now we move on to 824, Representative West.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll move the A24 amendment for us. This is on the same subject as the 75 cents delivery fee that will be on basically every single package delivered to your house. I understand that the Democrat majority has no desire to eliminate this tax increase that for the reasons they've already stated. We don't need to rehash that. So if we're not going to eliminate it, let's at least make it less regressive and less penalizing on people who can least afford it. And I think chief among those are our senior citizens. You think about if you can't drive, which many of our senior citizens can't, you have to get a lot of packages delivered, from prescription drugs to, you know, just the new pots and pans, food, drink. When you can't go to the grocery store, when you can't go to Target, you need it delivered. And you might say, oh, it's 3/4, 75 cents, it's nothing. But just taking, they're going to need at least weekly deliveries. So that's 52 deliveries a week. And then we'll say, you know, I get about 100 deliveries to my house in a year. Let's say they get another 48 on top of that 52. So they're at 100 as well. That's $75. Now, $75 is not a lot of money to a lot of people. But when you're living on fixed income, an additional $75 is probably about the size of your cost of living adjustment you got in your Social Security check. And we as a state still tax Social Security. So my amendment exempts senior citizens from this tax because they can least afford it. And I know the majority doesn't want to eliminate the tax entirely, which is what we prefer, but I think we can at least agree that our senior citizens could use that extra money every year. And with that, I would also request a roll call, Mr. Chair.
Roll call having been requested. Chair Hornstein, comments?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. And I would recommend the no vote. Again, Representative Cagle has put in some safeguards for many people that may be impacted by this. And so I, again, appreciate her efforts on this. And again, urge a no vote.
Any discussion or question on the bill? Representative Cagle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. That was the whole reason that we put the 1% to food support programs. And so the before the amendment, it was about $2 million a year going into food support programs. So we're really maybe, you know, we're trying to make sure that those folks are taken care of by supporting the programs that support them.
Further questions or discussion? Representative West, final comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I urge members to vote yes to ensure that our senior citizens aren't further taxed in this inflationary environment we find ourselves in. Thank you.
Roll call having been requested, Mr. Petrie.
Hornstein.
No.
Hornstein, no. Tabke.
No.
Tabke, no. Petersburg.
Yes.
Petersburg, yes. Brand.
No.
Brand, no. Elkins.
No.
Elkins, no. Fogelman.
Yes.
Fogelman, yes. Hudella.
Yes.
Hudella, yes. Cagle.
No.
Cagle, no. Kraft.
No.
Kraft, no.
Murphy excused. Nelson?
No.
Nelson, no. Norris?
No.
Norris, no. Olson?
Yes.
Olson, yes. Censor Mira?
No.
Censor Mira, no. West?
Yes.
West, yes.
With 5 ayes and 9 nays, the motion does not prevail. Moving to 825, Representative Hudella.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just looking for one carve out, similar to Representative West's amendment. Members, we heard some great testimony from Mr. Marshall at the Chamber of Progress about the struggles that some of our folks that are on assistance, that are receiving aid right now, that they're struggling and they could use a boost. And my amendment is asking for a carve out specifically for folks that are receiving the SNAP benefit right now. I think we've got a lot of money on the table. I think there's a big investment going into transportation, which is great. I think we can afford this one carve out for our SNAP folks, and I would request a roll call and a yes vote on this as well.
Roll call hasn't been requested. Thank you very much. Chair Hornstein.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Fidella. Representative Cagle speaks directly to this issue in the adjustments she's made to the bill, and so I think that your concerns are covered, and so I'd ask for a no vote.
Any questions or discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Petersburg.
So I think the question becomes is that we haven't seen those changes yet. That's still a work in progress because I think it's been withdrawn. So is that correct, or am I missing the point here?
Representative Cagle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Petersburg, the food, prescription drugs, medical costs, anything that's sales tax exempt except for clothing, the delivery fee would not apply.
Representative Petersburg.
And is that in the current bill as amended currently?
Yes.
Representative Cagle.
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Thank you for that, because with all these, it's hard to keep track of everything. Thank you.
I believe it's part of the cross-references.
Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. What would happen if you had a Target delivery that had some of those exempt things in that, and they put it all in one big box?
Representative Cagle.
Mr. Chair, Representative Olson, so if it had some exempt things and some non-exempt things, then you would get the fee.
Representative Olson. All right, final comments. Representative Hudella.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and to Representative Cagle. Appreciate the carve-outs on those things that are exempt now. Still looking for an exemption for the folks, just that general carve-out for our folks that are on that verge of poverty or that are receiving assistance. So I don't think the roll call will go through, but I would encourage you to continue to look at this for that population before this goes through Ways and Means and hits the floor.
Roll call hasn't been requested. Mr. Petrie.
Hornstein.
No.
Hornstein, no. Tapke.
No.
Tapke, no. Petersburg.
Yes.
Petersburg, yes. Brand.
No.
Brand, no. Elkins.
No.
Elkins, no. Fogelman.
Yes.
Fogelman, yes. Hudella.
Yes.
Hudella, yes. Cagle.
No.
Cagle, no. Kraft.
No.
Kraft, no. Murphy excused. Nelson?
No.
Nelson, no. Norris?
No.
Norris, no. Olson?
Yes.
Olson, yes. Censor Mira?
No.
Censor Mira, no. West?
Aye.
West, aye.
With 5 ayes and 9 nays, the A25 amendment does not prevail. Moving on to A22, Representative Hudella.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So we know a lot of these remaining amendments have a smaller shot at getting through. I'm really very hopeful that this one's different because it's very personal for me. I'm essentially trying to amend in House File 986 that Chair Newton brought to me and co-authored with me. It's an incredibly low cost and very targeted amendment to try and put on to our transportation bill. Essentially, it will absolve 100% disabled veterans from several of our transportation costs. And if you just look at the math for it for a minute, less than 1% of us serve in our nation's armed forces. So if we take that and apply it to our roughly 5.7 million that we have here in Minnesota, we get down to a number that's around 57,000 people that have served in the military here in our state. Now, we know that there's around 25,000 of those that are currently serving right now. We're down to around 32,000 veterans in the state. Roughly 17% of our veteran population is 100% disabled. So it's all this is bringing this down to a bill that's going to help 500 to maybe 1,000 tops veterans in Minnesota. And these are the veterans that have given absolutely everything. And I think about my good friend John Creasel that I served with that used to serve in the legislature here. John came back from Iraq without a pair of legs. And I think that with our transportation bill this year, it's an incredibly minute addition to say thank you to a few hundred people that have given a tremendous amount to our nation. And I would ask, I would be excited if our group accepts this amendment. I would be excited to support this bill on the House floor when it comes through. So thank you.
Chair Hornstein.
Thank you. I appreciate your service and the intent here. Our veterans have given so much, and we're grateful. I think that, you know, this is, again, properly vetted in our committee that's dedicated to this issue. You know, I'm interested in having some additional conversations with you about it, but, you know, at this point, it's pretty expansive. There's a lot going on here. I think ultimately for veterans and others who are impacted by fees, we have to have an even more progressive taxation system than we have now, particularly on income taxes. And so, again, there's a lot going on here with taxes and other issues, and I just think it's difficult to address them here in this moment. So for that reason, again, with appreciation for you and what you're trying to bring forward, I would still ask for a no vote.
Further discussion and questions? Seeing none, Representative Fidel, any final comments?
Yeah, this isn't a big ask, and I appreciate the response, very disappointed in it. And I wasn't looking to roll call this vote. Initially, I'll change that now and ask for a roll call. This is an incredibly small, minute part of this massive budget that we're putting forward for an incredibly small group of people. And I understand where you're coming from, Chair, that, hey, we're late in the game here. This bill passed through the Veterans Committee with Chair Newton and I early on, and it's sat here. And I know we had a lot of big things to cover this year as well. But I just think that I think there's a lot of folks at the table right now that are willing to say, hey, you know what? We can adjust this tiny dollar amount and fit it in. So, again, I would encourage a yes vote and appreciate your comments as well, Chair.
With that, a roll call has been requested. Mr. Petrie.
Hornstein.
No.
Hornstein, no. Tabke.
No.
Tabke, no. Petersburg.
Yes.
Petersburg, yes. Brand.
No.
Brand, no. Elkins.
No.
Elkins, no. Fogelman.
Yes.
Fogelman, yes. Hudella.
Yes.
Hudella, yes. Cagle.
No.
Cagle, no. Kraft.
No.
Kraft, no. Murphy. Excused. Nelson.
No.
Nelson, no. Norris.
No.
Norris, no. Olson.
Yes.
Olson, yes. Sensormira.
No.
Sensormira, no. West.
Aye.
West, aye.
With 5 ayes and 9 nays, the motion does not prevail. Moving on to A16, Representative West.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll move the A16 amendment. The A16 amendment requires the rail corridor that's going to Fargo must include the option. It's not saying it has to be done. It just must include the option to look at the elimination of North Star Commuter Rail.
why this is important is I encourage everyone in the audience here and if you're watching at home, Google Transit Ridership Graph MN. First link at the top, you'll click on that and you can find the North Star ridership. You can see this graph craters at the beginning of the pandemic and never even, it's maybe back to 10% of its previous service levels. And you say, well, let's just give it more time. North Star has been a disaster from its inception. It is, the county board didn't want it when it was, well, the county board at the time did want it, but the county board now would love to see it eliminated. And that has been their position for over a decade. And if you just looked at the previous ridership numbers, you could have leased each rider a Mercedes to cover the cost of the subsidy per rider. Now that that ridership is down to about 10% of what it was, and it already was terrible, you could probably lease them a Lamborghini at this point. It's actually, I'm not even sure if you're allowed to lease those, but it is an utter disaster, and I know we do have some federal implications if we do decide to eliminate it. So let's look at it. It's a very minute amendment. Just let's make sure, let's look at the elimination of North Star Light Rail. It's a massive burden on our taxpayers in Anoka County and in Blaine. It's the county board doesn't want it. Most of the legislature, I would say, doesn't want it. We're only worried about the interactions with the federal government. So let's look at those interactions and see, is it possible to eliminate it? Very minor ask. I'm not saying let's eliminate it right now. Let's just look at it. And I think that's a very appropriate amendment. It's very small to observe that because it is a massive problem that nothing we've done appears to make anything better thus far. So let's broaden our view into the elimination of North Star Light Rail. And I would request a roll call, please.
Roll call having been requested. Chair Hornstein.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Representative West, you raised some good points, but part of what we want to do here is to make sure that all options are on the table. We have a unique opportunity with this federal money to study, you know, additional options to get from the Twin Cities to Fargo-Moorhead area via St. Cloud, and that's the key part of this study, and for that reason, I ask for no vote.
Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to Mr. Chair, I'm just going to go back to some of the words that you just said. We want to have all options on the table. One of those options is certainly a viable option of elimination of that program. And it has been, in other studies, has been recommended that it may not be the most viable to maintain the North Star. This amendment just simply says, hey, if we're going to have a group study and analyze all the aspects of train transit all the way up to Moorhead, we should at least give them the option of looking at the possibility of eliminating that, maybe in lieu of something else. But to say that we can't look at elimination continues to take options off the table. And so I would highly recommend that maybe you reconsider that and accept this, because it won't change if the program, as they develop and analyze, says it needs to stay and move forward. This amendment doesn't change that. All it does is it says we need to be fiduciarily responsible to the citizens of the state, and we need to look at all options, including the possibility of elimination. If that doesn't come as the top of the list, there's no hurt. But if that would have been something that would have been advantageous in lieu of something else, for example, then all of a sudden we've taken that off the table. So I think this makes common sense, and I would recommend a yes vote.
Any further discussion? Chair Hornstein?
Valid point, Mr. Chair, Representative Petersburg, valid points, and, you know, certainly I'll consider those moving forward.
Thank you. Closing comments, Representative West.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I agree with Chair Hornstein. Let's keep all options on the table. I'm sure you regret saying that by now. But this is a massive burden on the taxpayers of Blaine and a massive burden on Anoka County as a whole. The county board doesn't want it. So we should at least allow the option to examine what elimination would look like. And I urge a yes vote.
Roll call having been requested. Mr. Petrie.
Hornstein.
No.
Hornstein, no. Tabke.
Nope.
Tabke, no. Petersburg.
Yes.
Petersburg, yes. Brand.
No.
Brand, no. Elkins.
No.
Elkins, no. Fogelman.
Yes.
Fogelman, yes. Hudela.
Yes.
Hudela, yes. Cagle.
No.
Cagle, no. Kraft.
No.
Kraft, no. Murphy, excused. Nelson.
No.
Nelson, no. Norris.
No.
Norris, no. Olson.
Yes.
Olson, yes. Sensormira.
No.
Sensormira, no. West.
Aye.
West, aye.
With five ayes and nine noes, the A16 does not prevail. Moving on now to the A9, Representative West.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll move the A9 amendment. The A9 amendment takes $130 million from the earmark for the train to Duluth. And it's building a new train, and I believe that money would be far better spent on Highway 65. Highway 65 is a black eye on our state. We have over 4 million visitors a year to the National Sports Center, and the first thing they experience, we have people around the world coming here, the first thing they experience, and I know many of you here have kids who have played at the National Sports Center, the first thing they experience is gridlock on Highway 65. It's a complete and utter disaster. From a study from the Metropolitan Council, it has 11 of the 31 worst intersections in the state when it comes to safety. No highway can claim that. There is no highway in the state with these kind of problems. Not only that, but it has the same traffic as 35W over the same stretch of road. Except, unlike 35W, there is a stoplight every half mile. If you haven't been there, you don't know how bad it is, but fortunately, most people have used it. The National Sports Center is visited by millions of people, and it's the second biggest attraction in our entire state. So why do we need a full $130 million? I know I've worked with the chair in the past, I've worked with Representative Cagle, to get money here and there for Highway 65. But the city themselves have said they need the entire sum this session. We had a meeting with them where they detailed that very clearly. Because if we just do a little bit here, a little bit there, $25 million, something like that, it's helpful. But when we have $20 billion, nearly $20 billion, and this bill itself already raises taxes by nearly, well, around $3 billion. So we're talking about oodles of money. And taking it from the train makes a lot of sense, because one thing we hear from the Democrat side of the aisle is we're not maintaining our infrastructure, which I would agree. We're not maintaining our infrastructure well. Just look at Highway 65. But if we're not maintaining our infrastructure, why are we building $200 million train all the way up to Duluth that's also going to be maintained? Why don't we focus on what we already have? So looking at a massive surplus, over $3 billion of tax increases in this bill, taking the earmark from the train and putting it towards Highway 65, which is crucial for the residents of Blaine, even the residents of Fridley and Ham Lake and the entire stretch benefit from this being done. And fortunately, like for Representative Cagle, if we can do this $130 million to finish this section, well, then it's likely that her district will be next on the list to invest in, and as we talk about this going further. The city needs all this money in this session. They've said it. Blaine cannot endure this any longer. It has been, 2009 was the last time something was done substantially on Highway 65. I've been working to scrape together some money, and we've had some progress thanks to the chair, and the chair has been generous enough to come to Blaine and see it firsthand. But this cannot wait. This is critical. And if we're going to earmark things in the bill, this is the best earmark that will serve the most people, unlike an earmark to a train to Duluth. And if I were a Democrat in the majority, I would never vote for a bill that didn't have this money. If I was in the majority, I would drag my party over the coals and cause a ruckus and be an unbearable pain if they didn't fund this road. When we have nearly $20 billion and raising taxes by $3 billion, this is something that absolutely needs to be done. It can be done. And I urge members to support this and request a roll call.
Roll call having been requested, Representative West makes a great case for people to move to the South Metro, and Chair Hornstein.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair, and very appreciate your interest in funding a very, very important corridor, Highway 65, which, as you pointed out, Representative West's committee made a field trip up to your area. I had the opportunity to participate also in a town meeting as well as a field hearing. So we have, over the last 5 years or so, spent quite a bit of time. And that is why we have funding for the first phase of this in the bill. And with additional funding that we need your support for, Representative West, you know, we can get the rest of this done. And then finally, I would say, you know, this bill is all modes, all parts of the state, so we don't want to take one for the other. But we do pay attention to Highway 65 very, very specifically in this bill. We call it out. We appropriate $25 million, and that's a really good start, and I think will help help get that project going and done. So I'd ask for a no vote.
Representative Nelson.
I know he was waiting with bated breath, but I have to ask for a no vote.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and to Representative West. I think every one of our districts have a project that has been delayed. In my district, well, it's my Senate district, Highway 252 was delayed, was given funding, and was delayed because Highway 35W in your part of the world was being worked on, and it's been delayed again, and it's been delayed again. So we all have projects that have bad intersections. I think 252 doesn't have as many intersections as Highway 65, but some of those intersections are in the top 10 worst intersections in the state of Minnesota. So, Mr. Chair, I also urge a no vote on this. We should not be earmarking projects. We have a history of giving money to the MnDOT and letting them, which they did to 252, adjust what they're going to be doing to what they need. When they delayed 252, they didn't want to have two north-south major highways being worked on at the same time, because what that would have dumped more traffic on 65 and on 47. So, Mr. Chair, I urge a no vote on this amendment.
Seeing no further discussion, Representative West, closing comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would say, well, one, there are earmarks in this bill. I'm taking it from one earmark and allocating it to another. So to say no earmarks, it's now earmark city, I would say. And the case I made is Highway 65 is objectively the worst. It's objectively the worst by our state's own metrics. So earmarking this makes a lot of sense. I would happily support money for 252 as well. I use that when I'm headed down to Brooklyn Park or sometimes to get around the worst parts of 610. But no road in the state can compare with this project. And there is that little bit of $25 million in there that is like a token amount, which would be terrific to get. But say, the way that's written, well, I know that money could go to 252. That money could go to 169 in Shakopee, which I know is also a pain. So, yes, there is a token. That money can go elsewhere to roads that are critical. There is no more critical than Highway 65. Objectively, it's a state road that feeds into a state-owned facility, and we have the money. We're raising taxes by $3 billion. There's over around $20 billion in a surplus. It just doesn't make sense not to do this, and every legislator from Blaine should be throwing a fit to make this happen, and I might get a little passionate on the House floor if we don't have a full funding of Highway 65 in this bill. And one last thing is there was no money in the bonding bill to fund Highway 65 either. So if we're not going to fund it in the bonding bill and we're going to hardly fund it in the transportation bill when we have all this money, it just it's madness in my opinion. But I'll rest my case and urge members to support this. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Chair Hornstein, did you want to make a comment?
No, we fund this. It's rare that we do a specific road. We may do a few more down the line here, but this is very, very important. The case has been made. We're creating a good start and a good investment in Highway 65. And to take money from another project that also is important to people you know, throughout the corridor between the Twin Cities and Duluth, I can't accept that. So,
roll call
again, a no vote.
Yep. Roll call having been requested on the A9 amendment, Mr. Petrie.
Hornstein.
No.
Hornstein, no. Tabke.
No.
Tabke, no. Petersburg.
Yes.
Petersburg, yes. Brand.
No.
Brand, no. Elkins.
No.
Elkins, no. Fogelman.
Yes.
Fogelman, yes. Hudella.
Yes.
Hudella, yes. Cagle.
No.
Cagle, no. Kraft.
No.
Kraft, no. Murphy, excused. Nelson.
No.
Nelson, no. Norris.
Yes.
Norris, yes. Olson.
Yes.
Olson, yes. Sensormira.
No.
Sensormira, no. West.
Yes.
West, yes.
With 6 ayes and 8 noes, the motion does not prevail. Moving on to A14, Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will move A14. Again, this bill does not change any money around anywhere, but it does refer back to our part of the bill that is going to be looking at some reorganization of the Met Council. And basically, to give a little bit of history, years ago, the legislature, I think, had a pretty glaring concern about the funding and the construction of the Southwest Light Rail. And we had concerns about that and about how the state was kind of being on the hook for a lot of costs and overrides that we didn't have any control over. So we did pass a legislation that says we would no longer be eligible on the hook, excuse me, for any additional funding for Southwest Light Rail. And the bill says that would be repealed if there's major reorganization of the Met Council. And I would submit and argue that it doesn't matter if there is or not, because the reason for the elimination of the funding source is still there, whether the Met Council changes or not. The project still moved forward. The project said that all the parties that are involved with it said that they would pick up the tab for it, for the extra dollars. And so I see no reason for us, for the state, to have the potential of being on the hook if there's just reorganization of Met Council. It just makes sense. I think it's important for us to move forward. We can do a lot of other things, but until we know exactly what the restructuring might be and so forth, I think it's premature for us to put in statute that will be repealed by some argumentative determination on what's substantial or not. So, Mr. Chair, I hope that you would accept this one or consider it at least, and that is my amendment.
Thank you, Representative Petersburg. Chair Hornman. Hornstein. Now I need more coffee, evidently. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. You know, we have a prohibition in place in this bill. I think that we have a couple of more, and that you know, will be for approximately a year from now, maybe a little bit longer. And I think that's important. That signifies, I think, legislative intent, that we really need the parties that are involved in construction of this, particularly the Met Council, to understand that the legislature is watching, and we are engaged now in this issue, primarily through the legislative auditor. Members, there's going to be 2 more audit reports coming in the next year, less than a year. The next one will have a lot of detail on the finances of this project, and I think until we get some more direction from the auditor, this is premature. We have an important guardrail already up in the bill, and to make this permanent, I think, would be ill-advised at this time, and I urge a no vote.
Thank you, Chair Hornstein. Any questions or discussion? Representative Petersburg, final comments.
Thank you, and with that concern, I think it's important for us to be on the record on what we do, so I will be asking for a roll call. And I think for the very reasons, Mr. Chair, that you said, we should make sure that this is still in place is for a couple of reasons. One is, if you know that there is potential for additional funding somewhere, you aren't as earnest about looking at alternative funding sources. And when you leave the possibility that the state could be on the hook for some additional construction costs, you are going to look for other you aren't going to look as earnestly for other options for funding that piece. And so I think it's important for us to maintain this. If there is, as you said, a year from now, there's some reorganizational changes and so forth, it can also be changed then. It doesn't have to be repealed with this particular legislation, because if it can be put in this legislation to repeal it, it can be put in any future legislation to repeal it as well. So I think it's important for us to take that off the table for consideration, because that could leave kind of a false sense of security for additional funding through the state. So I would ask for a yes vote, and I thank you for the amendment.
Roll call having been requested. Mr. Petrie.
Hornstein.
No.
Hornstein, no. Tabke.
No.
Tabke, no. Petersburg.
Yes.
Petersburg, yes. Brand.
No.
Brand, no. Elkins.
No.
Elkins, no. Fogelman.
Step out.
Oh, excused. Hudella.
Yes.
Hudella, yes. Cagle.
No.
Cagle, no. Kraft.
No.
Kraft, no. Murphy, excused. Nelson.
No.
Nelson, no. Norris.
No.
Norris, no. Olson.
Yes.
Olson, yes. Sensermira.
No.
Sensermira, no. West.
Aye.
West, aye. Fogelman.
Yes.
Fogelman, yes.
With 5 ayes and 9 nays, the motion does not prevail. Moving on to the A-10, Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move the A-10, which I kind of kiddingly call the pot for potholes amendment, because we're taking the dollars for some pothole repair out of a large pot of money, because this is every few years or so, we have issues with potholes, and legislature and this committee has provided some additional funding to help with some of those. And this year, for some reason, they are just growing. I don't know about you, but I've had a lot of the bottom of my car a lot. And so basically, this would take most of the money out of what Mr. Chair won't allow us to do, but it takes out a lot of the money for the Northern Lights, puts it into $44 million for street pothole maintenance, and the rest goes into HUTD. And so I throw it out there for consideration. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Petersburg. Chair Hornstein.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. If you're concerned about potholes, vote for the bill. We have a lot of money for MSAS, the local streets that are funded through the HUTD formula. That's ultimately going to get to the pothole problem. But, you know, what I said yesterday, I think, is very relevant for this conversation on this amendment. If you don't like how the roads appear now, MnDOT is saying that 1 out of 10 roads in the state 7 years from now are going to look like this, whether there's a freeze-thaw cycle or not, whether we have a severe winter or not. So let's get serious about funding roads and bridges. Vote for the bill. We're not going to pit one mode of transportation against another. We have money in this bill to fix potholes and a lot more. Please vote no.
Further discussion on the bill? Seeing none, Representative Petersburg, any final comments?
Just thank you for your consideration. Vote yes.
All those in favor of the A-10 amendment?
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
No.
No. The motion does not prevail. Representative West, the A-17.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll move the A-17 amendment. The A-17 amendment is a $1 million one-time appropriation to help Metro Transit hire additional police officers. We heard from them in great detail of the horrible situation like crime on the light rail is, and our whole transit system is really suffering from the rising crime we've seen in the metro area in particular. They did mention they have these slots. They're struggling to hire. My hope is that this extra funding for them to hire more police officers will help them actually fill their roles, because we know, I think there's two things. One, a better police presence will lead to a decrease in crime. We know that to be true. And two, and this is kind of a slight side note, but in reference to Representative Tabke's bill, the more fare-paying riders we have, the more likely there are to abide by the rules on the train and the code of conduct that's being proposed. And so I'm encouraged to see the majority looking at encouraging fare riders. But as long as more people are paying more fares and we have actual police, a real police presence that Metro Transit has said they desperately need, this is something that we need to do. And I would request a roll call on this, Mr. Chair.
Roll call having been requested. Chair Hornstein.
I'd ask for no vote. We have a very good and thoughtful transit safety provision in this bill already. Thank you, Chair Tapke, for that. I think it covers the needs that have been identified and in a holistic and proactive way. And again, I'm not interested in pitting one form of transportation against another. We have a strong transit safety position in this bill, and that's why I'd ask for vote no.
Representative Sensenmiller.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Representative West, for bringing this amendment and this conversation. You know, I would say as a member who has three light rail stops in my district, has one of, I think, the light rail stops, Lake and Hiawatha, that's currently experiencing some of the most challenges, you know, from lots of conversations with Metro Transit, you know, they have shared what they shared in the committee, which is that they have lots of, I think they have 60 open spots right now. I don't hear them asking us for, you know, funding for additional officers. I don't hear them offering that as a solution in lots of community conversations. I can tell you that my constituents are really mixed about whether or not extra police officer presence, if there was a possibility for it, is the answer. So I would encourage a no vote on this amendment.
Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, I think maybe I heard different, because I heard those that coming from the law enforcement portion of Met Council, and that said one of the struggles they're having is they don't have enough money for raises and others in order to keep and to attract officers, and so that they are down. They are down on the number of law enforcement that they have budgeted because they just don't have the initial money to draw in from other places. So this is something that isn't about necessarily adding more law officers, but actually putting in more payroll and more dollars so that they can actually attract and get to the level that they need. Because without that, we're still sucking air, shall we say. So I think this isn't about more bodies as much as it is just trying to get it fulfilled. So thank you,
and
Mr. Chairman.
I will comment on that as well, is that my conversation with Met Council and Metro Transit Police has not been that they aren't paying enough. They have recently made a pretty large increase and are starting to hire more folks since they made that increase, and it's not the lack of funding. It was a policy change that they made to make sure that they're increasing that funding to fill those positions that are there. So that is happening currently, and I also encourage a no vote on this amendment. Any further? Representative Sensenmiller.
Yeah, I just want to thank you, Chair. Thank you, Representative, our lead Petersburg. You know, I would say that when I'm reading the language, it reads from 1.5 to 1.7. This appropriation is for additional peace officers, so I read that as more peace officers than there currently have, which we've heard there's already 60 officers down. Thank you.
Representative West, final comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We know the crime situation in light rail is out of control. There's a lot of news articles. You can just Google it and see numerous of them. The one thing we know that will help for sure is an increased police presence. So I'd urge members to support this.
Roll call having been requested on the A17 amendment. Mr. Petrie.
Hornstein.
No.
I'm sorry?
Oh, no.
No. Tabke.
Should I also vote? I know.
That was no.
Oh, got it. No.
Tabke, no. Petersburg.
Yes.
Petersburg, yes. Brand.
No.
Brand, no. Elkins.
No.
Elkins, no. Fogelman.
Yes.
Fogelman, yes. Hudella.
Yes.
Hudella, yes. Cagle.
No.
Cagle, no. Kraft.
No.
Kraft, no. Murphy excused. Nelson.
No.
Nelson, no. Norris.
No.
Norris, no. Olson.
Yes.
Olson, yes. Sensenmiller.
No.
Sensenmiller, no. West.
Aye.
West, aye.
With 5 ayes and 9 nays, the motion does not prevail. And we move on to the A20. Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll move the A20 amendment, which I've had a couple conversations with Representative Kraft about his climate action plan. There's a lot of things in that I think are just fine. One of the things that I'm a little concerned about is the mandating of the Department of Transportation to determine how they're going to create expansion or how they're going to basically provide the necessary needs of the state with regard to construction. I think mandates are a really difficult thing to swallow. I think it it ties the hands of a department with that has already identified that they are looking at these things. They have these goals already. They're implementing them. They're even making them. They're actually increasing their goals at a rate that exceeds what they had previously had. And so what this amendment would do is just it would just remove the mandated this. In order to have an expansion, you would have to fulfill these particular requirements. It would just remove the mandate, and it would say that they should consider it, which is what they're already doing, and they're already considering it at a higher rate than what we previously had them considering it before. But my biggest concern would be something like on Highway 60 is a highway that I drive up to get to the Capitol every week, and they expanded it to a four-lane highway. And, you know, I don't know if it did any, I don't know if there was any emission reduction that they would have done by expanding it. What they did was they made it safer. There are no stoplights in the entirety of that line that I run on. And so you're not, you know, removing carbon emissions by getting rid of stoplights. You're making it a safer place for Minnesota drivers. And so my biggest concern is that we're going to mandate the Department of Transportation to put our climate, which is also a good thing, to put in a look at, and, you know, we have to consider the climate, but at the same time, above the safety of our residents. We need to make sure that our people are safe on the road today, as well as making sure that our climate is safe for tomorrow. And that's what this amendment would do. Just removing the mandate, untying their hands to a department that's already attempting to do the very best that they can for our climate, as well as for the safety of our members.
Chair Winstein.
Again, we have a very good bill process for working things out in Representative Kraft's bill. I'm very confident in him in terms of addressing issues and concerns. But I'll also say this is, you know, the issues that are being addressed in this section of the bill are very, very critically important. We have not had a good discussion about how to reduce greenhouse gas emissions in the transportation sector via land use and the issues that Representative Kraft is addressing. So I'd ask perhaps Representative Kraft to make some comments, but, you know, in terms of my intention, it would be to ask for a no vote on this amendment.
Representative Kraft.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Chair Hornstein, and thank you, Representative Olson, for the amendment. As context, with our transportation emissions targets, they're going in the wrong way right now. So we need to do something different. I do very much appreciate the spirit of this amendment and that it leaves in the bill the premise of balancing increasing greenhouse gas emissions from an expansion project with reduced emissions from elsewhere in the project or from a different project. That premise is really important because transportation emissions are the number one source of greenhouse gas emissions in Minnesota. All that said, I am going to ask for a no vote. The idea of balancing increased emissions to achieve our goals is to actually do it. And this amendment would mean we don't have to do it. And that's just not responsible given the climate crisis we're in and the goals that we have in law, which today come from the 2007 Bipartisan Next Generation Energy Act. As I said before, we're not meeting those goals. I appreciate the concern of safety, and I will continue to work with Representative Olson and others to make sure that we cannot compromise safety on our roads. But the language in the bill as is gives a lot of flexibility as to how balancing emissions is done and where it is done. It's a responsible approach to do it, but recognizes that we need to do it. So I'd urge a no vote on the amendment.
Representative Brand.
No, thanks.
Representative West.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And on this provision, I think it goes against the theme of the bill today, which is don't pit two different types of transit or roads against each other. What we did when this was heard before committee is we saw, well, if you're going to measure by vehicle miles traveled and have that as a goal, well, automatically that is prioritizing a light rail like the train to Duluth or Southwest light rail to at a higher rate than roads and bridges. It's by definition if you're going to consider vehicles miles traveled. So I think it's a very good amendment because we shouldn't be prioritizing one over another. According to the chair, that was the theme of the bill. I think it makes a lot of sense to adopt this Olson amendment because then we aren't prioritizing one over the other and we're letting them stand on their own merits. Thank you.
Chair Winstein.
Again, I think Representative Kraft handled that issue very well, and I would once again ask for a no vote.
Final comments, Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, and I share a lot of the concerns that Representative Kraft has. We had a nice conversation just earlier this week even regarding some of those. And I truly do care. You know, the environment of tomorrow, we need to protect it. We need to take care of it. And I think that the department is putting in a lot of new ideas in order to make that happen. And I do truly believe that with or without a mandate, they're going to be moving in that direction. They're going to be attempting to clean our environment. They're going to be attempting to reduce the amount of vehicle miles traveled. They're going to reduce the amount of time that you're sitting, idling, emitting carbon at an intersection. That is their goal already. We don't need to tie their hands. That is dangerous. I would ask that members would not only care about the environment of tomorrow, but be very concerned about the safety of Minnesotans today. And as a result of that, I'm going to have to ask for a roll call.
Roll call having been requested, Mr. Petrie.
Hornstein.
No.
Hornstein, no. Tabke.
No.
Tabke, no. Petersburg.
Yes.
Petersburg, yes. Brand.
No.
Brand, no. Elkins.
No.
Elkins, no. Fogelman.
Yes.
Fogelman, yes. Hudela.
Yes.
Hudela, yes. Cagle.
No.
Cagle, no. Kraft.
No.
Kraft, no. Murphy, excused. Nelson.
No.
Nelson, no. Norris.
No.
Norris, no. Olson.
Yes.
Olson, yes. Sensormira.
No.
Sensormira, no. West.
Aye.
West, aye.
With 5 ayes and 9 nays, the 820 amendment does not prevail. Moving on to 826, Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to move 826, and Chair Hornstein and I have spent some time talking about this as a little bit maybe more of a pilot project, but this really helps microtransit programs grow outside of the metropolitan area and specifically into Rochester. I believe the chair does have an oral amendment he would like to make that I would be glad to accept on this particular amendment.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Representative Petersburg, for bringing this forward and again for many people who are interested in microtransit, including the suburban providers, will be looking at some additional language as this bill moves forward to, you know, clarify some intentions there. But with regard to Rochester, we did have a specific amendment to House File 2700 that was my bill on microtransit. And I would like, you know, the amendment I would like to make is to delete taking the source of money from the Active Transportation Fund. But I would like to take this from the allocation we have for Greater Minnesota Transit, and then the number would be $200,000 in the first year and $50,000 in the second year. So those would be that's how I would like to modify the amendment, Representative Petersburg. Again, we're allocating some money for a microtransit project in Rochester. Get them going. It's not quite as generous as your amendment, but I think it's within reason in terms of getting this pilot project going. And I think the funding source is also important. And I've talked with the Minnesota Public Transit Association about this approach, and they are in support.
So Mr. Chair moves an oral amendment to the A26, which will, to be clear for everyone.
Can we have Matt just restate it for us, please?
Sure.
Mr. Chair and members, the 826 amendment oral changes to be incorporated would be first page 1, delete line 3, and then page 1, line 5, delete $1 million and insert $200,000, and delete the second $200,000 and insert $50,000. As a result of that, the first instruction on 1.3 would be eliminated, and then at 1.5, the language would read $200,000 in fiscal year 24 and $50,000 in fiscal year 25, and so on.
Just to clarify, thank you, Mr. Chair. And just to clarify, do we need to put in language that it's coming from the Greater Transit Fund, or is that implied?
Mr. Burris.
Mr. Chair, Representative Petersburg, this rider is in the appropriation to Greater Minnesota Transit or to MnDOT for Greater Minnesota Transit, so no change would be necessary for that.
And
Mr. Peter, Representative Petersburg.
And with that, I would certainly recommend a yes vote on that oral amendment.
If I might, Mr. Chair, this is an amendment to the DE, so the procedurally, the process would be to incorporate these changes orally into the A26 amendment, if you wanted to incorporate those.
And I would so do so.
Chair Hornstein.
Well, thank you. The proper motion might be to delete line 3 on page 1 and then delete page 1, line 5, $1 million, insert $200,000, and delete the second $200,000 and insert $50,000. Would that be the correct motion, Mr. Chair?
I believe so. Mr. Burris?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hornstein, I believe that is being incorporated into the A26 amendment.
Correct.
All right, so with Chair Hornstein and Representative Petersburg recommending a yes vote, any further discussion? Questions? All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? The motion prevails. All right, so now we are on the A26 amendment with the oral incorporation.
Mr. Chair, I believe because it was an amendment to an amendment, what I took and what we just voted on was the actual 26, because I actually included that in my amendment. So I think we already passed it entirely already. Mr. Burris, is that right?
Mr.
Burris.
Mr. Chair, Representative Petersburg, that's my understanding as well. Unless the committee wanted to revisit it, that would have been a vote on the A26 amendment as orally amended.
Well, I love that even better.
Mr. Chair, however you like. If you like to reconsider it and vote that way, that's just fine.
Oh, if we just incorporate it, then we're good. Mr. Chair, you're okay with that?
Yes.
Okay. So then we're moving on to the A15, Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move the A15, and here's a concern. With the large dollar amount that the sales tax increase is going to give Met Council, they've also been given the bonding authority. And that's, to me, a very dangerous thing to do for an unelected body, to have the authority to do so. Because with bonding authority, you can multiply those dollars by at least tenfold for doing that. And I know in past readings of legislative auditor opinions and so forth, they really prefer not to have unelected bodies giving bonding authority. And so my request is that maybe at least we should eliminate that piece for now until we decide what the structure of Met Council might be and move forward with saying they just don't have bonding authority at this particular time. It will still give them a lot of dollars to work with, and we can revisit this later when we find out what the governance is. So with that, Mr. Chair, I would like a yes vote.
Chair Hornstein.
Well, thank you very much. You make a very good case for an elected Met Council, so I appreciate that very much. But, ability to issue bonds is important. We have that ability for the local option sales taxes, and so I would ask for a no vote. And by the way, Mr. Chair, we do hope right around a year from now, maybe when we're doing a supplemental transportation bill or whatever transportation bill we do in the non-funding year, we will have some options for significant metropolitan governance reform, which may or may not include an elected Met Council, but it certainly would be a lot more accountable and transparent than we have now. That's my hope for a year from now. But I still would ask for a no vote.
Any further discussion? Representative Petersburg, final comments.
Thank you. I think this is really an important issue and one that we're going to need a roll call on because I think we need to be on the record for whether or not we're thinking that it's okay to give bonding authority to agencies like this. And so I would ask for a yes vote on my bill. And thank you, Mr. Chair.
Roll call having been requested. Mr. Petrie.
Hornstein.
No.
Hornstein, no. Tatke.
Nope.
Tatke, no. Petersburg.
Yes.
Petersburg, yes. Brand.
No.
Brand, no. Elkins.
No.
Elkins, no. Fogelman.
Yes.
Fogelman, yes. Hudela.
Yes.
Hudela, yes. Cagle.
No.
Cagle, no. Kraft.
No.
Kraft, no. Murphy excused. Nelson.
No.
Nelson, no. Norris.
No.
Norris, no. Olson.
Yes.
Olson, yes. Sensormira.
No.
Sensormira, no. West.
Aye.
West, aye.
With 5 ayes and 9 nays, the A15 does not prevail. Moving on to A18, Representative West.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll move the A18 amendment. This takes the metro-wide sales tax increase that is being proposed in the bill, and rather than doing it to all the counties, we're focusing it on Hennepin and Ramsey County, because they are by far the most transit-using counties. So it makes a lot of sense that the people who use the vast majority of transit should bear the most of the costs. You know, Anoka County already has a lot of costs related to transit, and they've contributed what I would say is their fair share. Raising sales tax again on Anoka County doesn't make sense, and especially in this inflationary environment, you know, when you raise sales tax, you make virtually everything more expensive. So people are already seeing their income be eroded away by inflation, and I understand you want to build out this transit system, but that's not what Anoka County is looking for. They're looking for relief. So let's focus this on the people who use transit, which are the folks in Hennepin and Ramsey counties, and I'm sure they'll be excited to see new transit projects, as I've heard from many of their representatives. I don't like the idea of taking from my constituents, the people of Blaine, Ham Lake, and Columbus, and Anoka County at large, but also Dakota County, which isn't served by Metro Transit. Well, some of it isn't. I think we need to focus the user fees on the primary users rather than raising taxes on everyone, particularly in the present environment. We've got billions of tax increases in this bill. This would shave just a little bit. You know, the bulk of the people live in Hennepin and Ramsey County. So this tax would still maintain most of its revenue. But I think the voters and people in Anoka County deserve some relief from inflation, and raising their sales tax is only going to make it worse for stuff that they largely don't even use. So that is my amendment, and I'd like a roll call, please.
Roll call having been requested. Chair Hornstein.
Mr. Chair. Thank you for the amendment, Representative West. We have road money in this amendment, and that will directly affect your county, certainly, in terms of a very positive contribution to improving road access and paving potholes, whatever it is that the county would need. We're going to be looking, actually, this is an opportunity for me to say on the record that we're going to be looking at some different options for how to get that money directly to the counties. The TAB is one option in the bill. There may be some others as this bill moves forward that we're going to consider. So your county will get road money, but your county also needs transit, as every county does in this region, whether it's the suburban transit providers, whether it's extending, we have the F line that's going to be going up into the northern suburbs. These are these very successful arterial bus rapid transit systems. So, it is a myth that only Hennepin and Ramsey counties will benefit from this. The entire region will benefit, and we are looking at regional systems of roads and bridges and transit systems, and that's what this metro sales tax supports, and for that reason, I would ask for a no vote.
Representative Cagle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative West, you and I represent Anoka County, both of us, and I'm not sure if you realize how different your portion of Anoka County is from my portion of Anoka County. I know up in Ham Lake and the lakes and stuff, you guys got your big, beautiful homes and lots of space and acres and stuff. But in my portion of Anoka County, we have houses on, 0.2 acre lots. We have dense apartment buildings. We have shopping centers. I see at least two residents of Anoka County in the audience here. And I know that the folks that I talk to in Anoka County want more transit options, which is why I fought so hard for the F line to come up to Northtown Transit Station, which is in Anoka County. The 10 bus line is one of the most used lines, which runs from Hennepin County all the way up to the Northtown Transit Center. So to say that folks in Anoka County don't use transit is ridiculous, because I see it all day in front of my house. Like, we have the buses that go by my house. And so just because the folks up in the lakes don't use transit, maybe they would if we were able to get some transit up there. But folks in Fridley, in Columbia Heights, in Spring Lake Park, they do use it. And it's their lifeblood, a lot of them. So I think that's a really kind of misleading argument, and I would suggest a no vote on this.
And I want to echo what Representative Cagle is saying, because Scott County is the very similar dynamics. As Northern Scott County, we have multiple times a week I get notes from U of M students who can't get back and forth between Shakopee and the U. I get notes from folks who have disabilities who cannot get back and forth through our community. And so it's a really important thing that this is an inclusive, holistic plan for transit throughout the entire metro. And so Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative West. I could support this if only the money that's raised by this tax was spent in Anoka, in Hennepin-Ramsey County, and not in any other counties. But that would be very short-sighted, because Columbia Heights and Fridley, Columbia Heights is inside the 694 loop. They get a lot of transit down there, probably more transit than I get in Brooklyn Park, which is in Hennepin County. And so if we're going to do this, then none of the money raised for this, for roads or anything else, this money is designated to go to, could be spent in any of the other counties in the seven county metro area. But that's not what this amendment does. This is a money grab from Hennepin County and Ramsey County taxpayers, and money will not just stay there. It will flow out to all the metropolitan county area. So, I mean, we have to vote no on this amendment, because it's a money grab only for the people that take the money from Hennepin and Ramsey County and making them pay for everybody else's roads and transit.
Further discussion? Seeing none, final comments, Representative West.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We also have a nearly $20 billion budget surplus. This bill already has insanely large tax increases in it. We could totally eliminate this, and I think we'd see transit still be built out. Although I know the other side of the aisle wants money for transit, so we can still tax the bulk of the population of the state by focusing it on the primary users of transit. There are some people that use transit in Anoka County, certainly, but the vast majority do not. And that is the purpose of the amendment. And with this massive surplus and the tax increases already in this bill, and this hardly affects that, because most of the population in the metro obviously is in Ramsey and Hennepin County, it's a good amendment that will help taxpayers deal with the inflationary burden and the tight budgets they're seeing. And this will raise the cost of all taxable goods in Minnesota. It's, in the metro area, almost everything except for clothing and food. So I think we need to be responsible to the taxpayers, not put an inordinate burden on them. And this is a way we can do it a little less, but I'd rather see it eliminated entirely. But I knew that was dead on arrival. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
With that, a roll call has been requested. Mr. Petrie.
Hornstein.
No.
Hornstein, no. Tabke.
No.
Tabke, no. Petersburg.
Yes.
Petersburg, yes. Brand.
No.
Brand, no. Elkins.
No.
Elkins, no. Fogelman.
Yes.
Fogelman, yes. Hudella.
Yes.
Hudella, yes. Cagle.
No.
Cagle, no. Kraft.
No.
Kraft, no. Murphy, excused. Nelson.
No.
Nelson, no. Norris.
No.
Norris, no. Olson.
Yes.
Olson, yes. Sensormira.
No.
Sensormira, no. West.
Aye.
West, aye.
Five ayes and nine nays. The motion does not prevail. Moving on to the A-19 amendment. Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd move the A-19 amendment. So, what this amendment will do is it will remove the absolutely shameful vehicle registration tax. And I call it shameful for one reason. You're not showing the Minnesota taxpayers what you're taxing them. This is a hidden fee. This is a hidden cost. It absolutely is. And there's almost absolutely no denying that fact. Because when you go and buy a new vehicle, you see the price. And you walk in there, you see the commercial, and it says this vehicle is $49.99 plus tax, title, and licensing fees. And everyone who goes and buys a vehicle goes in there understanding that there will, in fact, be tax, title, and licensing fees, but no one, maybe some people who are very, very diligent, they don't do the math beforehand. They don't look at it and they say, okay, well, tax, oh, we're actually raising the motor vehicle sales tax as well. So they're looking at the motor vehicle sales tax, say, oh, okay, so I do my math there. You pull out your little calculator, and then you say, okay, now what is the licensing fees that the auto dealers have, because they have paperwork that they need to file, and, oh, the registration fee. Well, okay, let's do some math on that one. No one walks into a car dealership with their calculator in their little pocketbook and identifying exactly how many pennies they are going to have to spend in order to pay the state of Minnesota for what we say they owe us. No one does that. And in doing so, we can just raise this registration fee and we can hide it and we can get away with it without showing the Minnesota taxpayers what we are in fact taking from them. We are raising this, so by raising this rate, a new vehicle is going to cost a considerable sum more. If you look at the entire depreciation rate through about 11 years of the vehicle's life, you're going to see a 30% increase in the registration fees. 30%. Now, if you buy a new vehicle that's $40,000, you are going to see a $790 tax on that vehicle. Now, normally it's $524, and you say, well, you know, that's only, you know, $270. If you're buying a new vehicle, you can afford $270 more. But what people fail to recognize is that the majority of Minnesotans who purchase vehicles do so by getting a loan. A loan then requires you to pay interest. We should not be forcing Minnesotans to pay interest on their taxes. That is nonsense. That is robbing Minnesotans of their hard-earned income. When we are doing this, you know, it's funny because in a year, on an average year, and this was from 2017, and vehicles have just gotten better, and we've reduced our vehicle miles traveled, but in 2017, they identified that the average person purchases about 656 gallons of fuel per year. Well, this increased registration tax is equal to about 900 gallons of gasoline paid in the gas tax. So we are increasing our registration fee by more than what we would get through the gas tax if they purchased an entire year's worth of fuel. This is ridiculous. We are hiding this from the Minnesota taxpayer. We should not be doing this. Not only that, but we are going to be forcing Minnesotans to pay interest on their taxes. This is absolutely shameful. We should not be doing it in this way. Sure, if you say we need money for transportation, let's talk about auto parts, which I appreciate that is in this bill. Could have been done. It could be done a little sooner than the implementation is within this bill, but at least we're going to get it done. At that point, we can have real conversations about how to raise revenue for transportation. Potholes are not a good thing. We need safe roads. We need safe bridges. But we also need to show the Minnesotans that we are, in fact, asking them for their hard-earned tax dollars. When you buy gas, you will see a sticker, and I think there were some individuals on the other side of the aisle who haven't purchased gasoline recently because they shook their heads last time I said this, but there is, in fact, a sticker on the gas pump that tells you exactly how much the state of Minnesota is taking from you every time you buy a gallon of gas. It is there. This is not there. There is no transparency here. It's a hidden cost. It falls under that tax title and licensing fee con that we are pulling on the Minnesotans. I ask that you support this amendment. Do the right thing by Minnesotans. Remove this and find revenue in a different way. And I would ask for a roll call on this.
Roll call having been requested. Chair Hornstein.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, the con that we're putting on Minnesotans is pretending that we can fund roads and bridges by not funding roads and bridges. That is the con that we're putting on Minnesotans, to pretend that this one simple mechanism of shifting money from the general fund is actually going to address our needs. That's what's shameful, Representative Olson. And let me tell you this. If you're worried about people getting ripped off when they're buying cars, what about the interest rates that banks are charging and these financing organizations that work with the different car companies? These are outrageous interest rates. So that's just going to pad the profits of these institutions, not going to our roads and bridges. So that's what I find outrageous. And yes, Representative Wolfson, if we need better disclosure when people are buying cars and vehicles in terms of what they're paying, I'd work with that. I'd work on that with you, and we could go to the Commerce Committee and see what can happen with that. So it's not just simply if there is an issue of disclosure, let's deal with that. But here we have a very good way to fund roads and bridges. And I will say that the depreciation schedule, most Minnesotans are driving older vehicles. And so the depreciation schedule, after 5 years, you start to see those fees go down. So, members, I would ask emphatically for a no vote. This is a really important part of our transportation funding package, and this is going to go a long way in supporting our, and this is actually 100% dedicated to roads and bridges. So if you want money for small cities, if you want money for counties, if you want money for cities, large and small, and for our state system, let's not forget our state system, which is 62% of the Highway User Trust Distribution Fund, this is where those funds go. So I would ask for a no vote.
Representative Elkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, I'm in agreement in part with Representative Olson. This is a less transparent tax than other user fees that we could be assessing. We're at a point now where almost two-thirds of the revenue going into the highway user fee distribution fund composed of sales taxes and registration taxes. That's not appropriate. But as long as the you know, as the other side of the aisle is making the increases in the transparent highway user tax toxic, this is where we end up. This fee, the registration fee, is the only thing in that pile that makes the whole pot more progressive. The gas tax, as you guys are fond of pointing out, is regressive. The registration fee structure is highly progressive. In the end, it's not actually as progressive as it looks, because so many people are paying the base, you know, $25 that you get to after your car is 11 years old. But as the chair says, you know, if we can't raise gas taxes, you know, this is what we're left to.
Other comments? Questions? Representative Olson, final comments.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I think it's pretty humorous when you say that this is what you're left with because you have no other options. You have all the power to do whatever you want. If you wanted to touch the gas tax, you could touch the gas tax and you could have transparency in your taxes. That's your prerogative. I would mention that there are only a handful of states in this entire country that determine that a vehicle's value should be assessed when you're talking about its damages that are done to roads. There are many states in this union that have a flat registration fee for a vehicle, and there are more that say if you have a very heavy vehicle, you should pay in accordance with that weight. We're one of a handful that say if you drive a vehicle that is $58,000, you should pay more in your registration than a vehicle that's $28,000. There is no logical sense in the fact that a $58,000 vehicle would do more damage to the road than a $28,000 vehicle, except maybe in the fact that the average cost of an electric vehicle is $58,000, and they tend to be much heavier than a $28,000 regular sedan. So that is counterintuitive. When you're trying to promote electric vehicles, and then you're saying, we're going to tax your electric vehicle at a very high rate comparatively, I think you're going to find that you're disincentivizing what you are, in fact, trying to push forward. This is one of the most shameful ways of hiding your taxes. At least when the IRS comes for your money, they say, hey, here's what you owe. You don't even get that when you buy a new vehicle. Vote yes for this amendment to remove this shameful tax.
Representative Olson, before we get to a roll call that has been requested, I just want to make sure you know that we, in summer of 2019, we had a really long discussion about registration. We had a task force, and Representative Elkins and I were on that task force. And it was absolutely brought to the table for switching to a weight-based tabs and moving forward with that, but we categorically excluded that because it would hurt greater Minnesotans significantly more than Metro. And so it was not a regionally balanced plan. And so what you're advocating for and talking right there would hurt your constituents significantly more in paying taxes wise and then mine. And then the other part of this is that this is one of the only taxes that I know that it you get a statement in the mail every year that says this is exactly what you are paying. I mean, in order to renew your tabs, you get this every single year that says where it is. So there's nothing hidden. There's nothing shameful. I mean, you can say paying taxes is shameful. That's your plan, whatever you want to go with there. But this is not a hidden tax whatsoever. There is significantly, we spend thousands and thousands of dollars every year letting people know exactly what they're paying annually. So with that, Mr. Petrie.
Hornstein.
No.
Hornstein, no. Tapke.
No.
Tapke, no. Petersburg.
Aye. Yes.
Petersburg, aye. Brand.
No.
Brand, no. Elkins.
No.
Elkins, no. Fogelman.
Yes.
Fogelman, yes. Hudella.
Yes.
Hudella, yes. Cagle.
No.
Cagle, no. Kraft.
No.
Kraft, no. Murphy. Excused. Nelson.
No.
Nelson, no. Norris.
No.
Norris, no. Olson.
Yes.
Olson, yes. Sensormira.
No.
Sensormira, no. West.
Aye.
West, aye.
With five ayes and nine nays, the A19 does not prevail. So that's all the amendments that we have. We have the DE1 as amended before us. Mr. Chair, would you like to take the DE1 and then do final comments on the bill, or would you like to do final comments on the DE1 and then we'll...
Mr. Chair, I'm happy to do whatever the chair would like to do. We could adopt the amendment. I can make some final comments before adoption or after, whatever pleases you, Mr. Chair.
So we have the DE1 amendment is before us as amended. Let's go to questions and comments on the DE1 at this point, and we'll go to Representative Cagle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I just really want to thank Representative Hornstein, Chair Hornstein, number one, for allowing me to work on this and really learn a lot about our transportation funding mechanisms, where the money all goes, and one thing that, you know, we've been hearing is that we've got this budget surplus. Transportation does not have... is not funded out of the general fund. We are a closed system that funds ourselves. And like Chair Hornstein said, not funding transportation just doesn't make any sense. This is our vital to everyday life in Minnesota. It affects us every day. You know, we hate the gas tax. We hate the registration fees. We hate the tab fees. We hate the license fees. We hate the delivery fees. I mean, basically, we hate paying for the roads we use. And that's just not going to cut it anymore. We need to do something, because not doing something is going to cost us far more, not just in real dollars, but in accidents, in people's lives, in safety, in jobs. This is vital. And I don't think saying no anymore is a way forward. You know, there's lots of, I've heard a lot of this isn't the way. Then what is the way? What are the other ideas that folks have? If it were up to me, I'd say we'd do away with all of these user fees, go straight to income tax, and fund our roads that way. But that's socialism, apparently. So, we have to fund our roads and bridges. And there's just no more saying no. So please pass this bill. Thank you.
And to be very clear with everyone, we're going to use this as passage on the final bill as discussion about the DE here. So that if anyone has anything to say about the bill, make sure to have it in here. Representative Elkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, so as Representative Cagle, eloquently is expressing, we live in a constitutional framework that anticipates that highway user highways and bridges, roads and bridges will be funded from a trust fund that's referred to as the Highway User Fee Distribution Fund. That implies that it's funded with user taxes. And yet, the most efficient user tax that we have, the most transparent user tax that we have, is effectively, off the table and verboten to talk to. And so we end up you know, because of the political exigencies, talking about things like you know, delivery fees, you know, registration tax increases, further shifts of funds from the sales taxes to the point where we've been so reluctant to increase the gas tax for so long that over half of our road and bridge funding in the state now is coming from property taxes. And so I don't know about you guys, but the tax I most hear about when I go home is, why is our property taxes going up? Well, a big reason why our property taxes are going up is because we haven't increased our gas taxes. We're not, you know, the highway user tax distribution fund is not growing. A higher and higher portion of our road and bridge funding gets pushed back onto cities and counties every year. So if this is the best possible bill that we could have been put together, you know, taking into account both our constitutional constraints and our political constraints. If you don't like a bill like this, then the next time we do one, 2 years from now, let's bring everything to the table. Thank you.
Representative Kraft.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So with all the competing interests which we've heard in discussion and in the testimony yesterday and today, I really want to commend Chair Hornstein on putting together a great bill that does meet the moment. It addresses the critical infrastructure needs we have in the broader context of addressing climate change, which we must do. You know, I've said before, but we put up with so much because of the car-centric culture that we have in terms of pollution, death on our roads, and missing out on the community-building opportunities there are when we make it easier for people to travel from place to place in different ways. So I appreciate that this bill recognizes that while cars are and will and must remain critical to our transportation system, especially in Greater Minnesota, we can and must set a vision for a healthier, less polluting, more climate conscious, and more inclusive transportation system. Finally, I want to return to a comment Chair Hornstein made when he kicked off the bill yesterday, when he said we cannot continue to procrastinate, as these problems don't go away, they just get more expensive. I sincerely appreciate his leadership, because for me, I didn't come to the legislature to kick the can down the road, especially when doing so means the road is going to disintegrate.
Thank you, Representative Kraft. Representative West.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I can save any longer discussion for the floor. But what I do want to say is, with a $20 billion budget surplus, we're raising taxes in this bill. Well, the Democrats are raising taxes in this bill by $3.6 billion. It's an absolute travesty not to include Highway 65. But I do thank Representative Cagle for including a little bit of money in her proposal with the delivery fee increase. That is at least something. So it's not a complete disaster, but if we're not going to get anything in the bonding bill, and if raising taxes by $3.6 billion isn't going to get the money for Highway 65, I think the voters of Blaine would look at it and go, well, what do we have to do? If you adopted my A9 amendment to fully fund Highway 65, you know, I probably could stomach the tax increases. But when it's not going to the critical needs, the worst part of our entire state when it comes to highway infrastructure, it seems misguided. At the same time, there's earmarks for a $200 million train. So I think it's a misguided priority, and it's a huge missed opportunity. If we're going to raise all this revenue, which everybody's talking about, $3 billion, oh, $130 million of that is a tiny little sliver that is absolutely desperately needed for the people of Lane. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative Centimiro.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, everyone, for the work on this bill. I feel like I've learned a lot from being on this committee. I was looking back at some notes that I've taken from this committee, and I was looking back at a phrase that Representative Jordan used when she introduced her bill, which I think, for me personally, I think is one of the highlights of this budget bill, and I think one of the things that will have the potential to have the biggest impact on the community they represent. But, you know, she started off by saying this bill is kind of a taking care of what we have bill, and I see that as a phrase that I think, you know, translates to this bill overall, this larger budget bill. And so I think that this bill shows some progress. I think I also want to say that what we have is really inadequate, you know, and I think what we have is really detrimental in some ways, the transportation system that we have created. I'm thinking about, you know, one of the major roads that runs through my district, Cedar Avenue, where essentially a highway, Highway 62, kind of just lets out into a park, and then is a really dangerous road that goes through lots of communities. And, you know, every four blocks on the part of Cedar that I represent, close to my house, there is a memorial to someone that has died on that road in the last few years. I mean, I'm not talking like in a lifetime. I'm talking about in the last few years. And so, you know, when we think about we need to take care of the roads and bridges that we have, those are the roads that we have. Like, they are really inadequate to safety and preserving human life. And so I think that there's still a lot of work that this committee needs to do to move forward on some of these issues. You know, I think we've made some investments in different kinds of transit, but, you know, the history of transit in this country is laced with prejudice, inequalities. It's about, you know, so many of our transit systems were built to bring people in and out of the city from the suburbs in ways that were, you know, really detrimental to the urban communities that I represent. And so just kind of maintaining the structure that we have, while I think it's what we need to do right now, is not going far enough. And so I think this, you know, this bill will stabilize. I think this bill will give needed funding. But I think we need to continue to push to go further. Thank you.
Representative Norris.
Thank you, Chair Tapke. I wasn't planning to make remarks. I was going to let the work speak for itself, but I can only hear about my district so many times before I feel compelled to chime in. Thank you, Chair Hornstein, for your commitment to Highway 65. I'm proud of the fact that in my first term, I was able to secure the most legislatively directed dollars ever for Highway 65. I appreciate my colleagues on the committee recognizing the importance of this highway to my community. But I also recognize that you all have other important commitments and obligations in the transportation world in your districts as well. So $25 million is a really big first step. It's going to allow us to put shovels in the ground on that project. And I'm really excited about that, and the people of Blaine should be excited as well. But I'm not done. I'm going to keep working, keep an eye out for more. But I also realize that there's 134 members of the Minnesota House, and we're not just going to be able to earmark every single thing that we want in my particular district, because we have transportation obligations throughout the state of Minnesota. This is a transportation bill for the whole state of Minnesota, and I'm proud to support it.
Representative Brand.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you very much to you, Mr. Chair Hornstein, for your leadership, your mentorship, your openness to have the door open for conversation. I really do appreciate the conversations that we had this year in talking about a transportation fuel standard for Minnesota. I do think that we, as we transition, we need to look at more than just one source of energy as we transition. And I would like to continue to work with you to find ways that we can support the governor's recommendation for clean transportation fuel standard working group, or an impact study, and then also some more work that could be done on the clean fuels, aviation fuel standard as well. I do think that, you know, I spent a good deal of time this session trying to work on this, and I do think that there's still an opportunity. We're just not going to wave a magic wand and all of a sudden have electric vehicles here tomorrow. There are plenty of vehicles that are still driving around in my district. There are 2,000 Honda Accords and whatnot, and I know that those vehicles that people purchase today are going to be on the roads 20, 30, 40 years from now, especially those ones that are larger and can be rebuilt. And so as we start our transition process, I would still like us to think about a variety of sources of those energies, keeping the carbon in the ground, but also finding ways to also incentivize farmers to do better things to manage their land, and then also to grow crops that can be the next generation of fuels. Thank you.
I want to say real quick before we pass this over to Representative Petersburg that I also want to thank Chair Hornstein for all your work on this bill. This has some things that I'm extremely proud of are all the safety work that's in this bill, whether that be the transit safety pieces, whether that be roadway safety. Pedestrian safety is something we need to continue to work a lot on in this committee. Bike safety, those safety components will save lives, and this will do that. The next big piece that I'm really excited to have go forward is we need to recognize and continue to understand, as we've had testifier after testifier tell us, that in transportation, our piecemeal funding of transportation systems has caused all of our projects to become more and more expensive because we don't have dedicated funding to transportation. So people cannot build up to the sizes that we need for local companies to be able to do this work. And so this start and stop funding of transportation that we've had has not allowed for consistent for businesses to purchase the equipment they need and everything that they need to make sure that this is all happening well, and pushing that forward to keep those prices as low as we can for those costs of those projects. And so this is a huge piece of that we need to go. And then the last thing that I'll say about the bill is the trooper work that's in here. So there's a deficiency funding for troopers that's in here, as well as for pushing forward to making sure that our troopers are paid adequately so our troopers, state troopers, can compete and make sure that we are moving forward and having safe roadways throughout the state. So, Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just before we start, I want to just clarify, is it your intention that right after the passage of this DE that we're going to go right into the vote on the bill?
Correct.
Then I would request a roll call on the final passage, if I could, please.
Of the DE or of the bill or both?
Of the bill.
Okay.
I appreciate that. So we heard a lot of passion, pleas for funding of the roads and bridge and transportation system. And, you know, the question was asked, if we can't raise gas taxes and other things for it, how are we going to fund roads and bridges? And another comment was, we can't fund roads and bridges by not funding roads and bridges. Both of them are absolutely right. The problem is that until we disconnect, until we disentangle this idea that roads and bridges are only important to the funding mechanism, then we're going to always be behind the eight ball. The reality is that the Constitution of Minnesota requires really three primary responsibilities of the legislature. One is to provide K-12 funding in any form that it needs necessary. One is to provide the support and funding for infrastructure, and the other is for public safety. And so this is the infrastructure that we need to do. This idea that we can rely on constitutionally dedicated funding sources for something as this when it doesn't get the same impetus, it doesn't get the same direction that the rest of the taxes do is silly. If you really have the passion for roads and bridges and want the funding for it, then we all need to fight for general fund dollars, for every dollar available, because without understanding that roads and bridges are a fundamental piece of virtually every project, every event that we do in the state of Minnesota, we are kidding ourselves. And one of the things to remember is that when the Department of Transportation was created, it was created to do what? To build roads and bridges. And then the funding mechanism was created in order to provide the funding for roads and bridges. Now we have asked public transportation to be included, to actually providing the service of transportation, but we're still using the outdated idea that we are going to do it on user fees. And so I think it's something that we really need to think about into the future, that we need to uncouple this idea that we have to be funded only with what's in the current funding mechanisms and actually grow to it. So for you, keep the passion there, because we need to talk about that as a whole. Back to the actual bill itself, there are a lot of things, Mr. Chair, that I like about this bill. I love the dollars in it. Not crazy about where they come from, but I love the dollars in them, okay? Because it is an important piece. We need to grow that. I really like the additional support that we're giving to the State Patrol and some of the other programs that have been left off. I think it is time for us to rethink at council and do more of a legislatively led review of that. So I think that's important. There are some other areas of this bill that I have great concerns with. One, of course, is the regressivity of the sales tax and the delivery charge. You heard my spiel earlier, and one of the things that's concerning is that when we're all in our own individual committees, we sometimes do get, what I said earlier, into this silo mentality of thinking about only what we need to do within our own area. And I know Ways and Means is kind of, and leadership is kind of responsible for kind of see how it mixes together. But when we actually look at all the things that's going to be happening in this session with all the other committees and so forth, the regressivity of these particular ones are going to have a high impact. Now, whether or not people will revolt from that or not, I'm not sure, but that brings me great concerns for that. Also, there are much more mandates of both government entities as well as individuals in regards to some of our issues around reporting for environmental reasons or other reasons that's there. I'm concerned that we still haven't fully helped the deputy registers recover from the MnLARS fiasco, and we didn't do anything there to help with some of the cost sharing and profit sharing that I think should be done. And of course, townships. Earlier we heard about the number of roads and bridges that are getting disrepair, and we talked about property taxes. But I want to remind us all that townships represent 46% of all the state's roads. Other than a few dollars of the 5% set aside of HUTD, have never gotten any dollars from the state coffers and have always had to rely on property taxes. And a lot of county roads and municipality roads have been the same thing. They're developing that. And so we really haven't helped them out prior to this. This bill has some improvements on that, but townships got a whole lot less, even though they represent a lot more of the roads within the state. Remember, the number of miles of roads in this state, put them all together, would go around the equator of the earth five times. That's a lot of roads for us to deal with, and it's a lot of dollars that we have to do. So, yes, property taxes have been where the roads were originally built with, and now they have to be maintained by that as well, and we have to figure out what's going to happen with that. In closing, though, I would say that I have thoroughly enjoyed working with you, Mr. Chair, on this bill. I had really hoped that at the end it might even be something that I could vote for because you and I work very well. I share your passion for transportation. I share your desire to work out a program that is helpful and bipartisan as much as possible. I can only promise to you that I will continue to work with you with everything I can. To make this bill a little bit better, and this bill kind of reflects your prerogatives and your core values, and I just appreciate that, and I appreciate your willingness to have worked with me over this time and your open communications with me. So thank you with that. As we move forward, I will do everything I can to help you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. By the way, I recommend a no, but I know that. Figured I better at least say that so you know. So.
Chair Hornstein.
Thank you. I recommend a yes. Well, thank you so much for the great discussion today, members. And, you know, it is with some. I started yesterday in my opening comments with gratitude for the staff in particular and the members. But I want to once again end with gratitude. You know, particularly for the members on this committee. I have gotten to know each and every one of you. We've had a lot of one-to-ones in my office. We've had great discussions in the hallways and on the House floor. Each and every one of you, both sides of the aisle, are just tremendous legislators. And this is why I enjoy this committee so much. We have the opportunity to deal with so many different issues that affect the entirety of the state. Everything from the Department of Public Safety to the Department of Transportation to the Met Council. We deal with so many other issues that make a real important difference in people's lives. So it's been a real joy to work with all of you, and a particular thank you. I want to echo Lee Petersburg, your have been so helpful in so many ways moving forward and helping me out in terms of everything from our agendas to ways we can work together on issues of mutual concern. I'm glad we have a number of provisions from your side of the aisle included in this bill, and I look forward to our continued work together. I just want to make a couple of closing comments before we vote. We started in January with an overview of the tremendous needs, the tremendous unmet needs in transportation throughout all sectors and all across the state. This bill makes a very, very important giant step forward in meeting those needs, but we don't meet them entirely. We don't meet them entirely, even with the revenue that we're raising. And it is simply not good enough to say, well, we're just going to use an auto parts sales tax transfer from the general fund, and that will take care of everything. It takes care of just a fraction of the need. We must raise revenue. And that's what we do. But it's more than just raising revenue, members. Transportation is ultimately about people. It's about our constituents. It's about who we represent. And, you know, we've had a lot of conversation about regressivity. And I just want to say, you know, here's the data on a sales tax. I'm not saying this is an income tax. It's not progressive like an income tax. But keep in mind, on a sales tax, the top 20% pay 45%. The bottom 20 pay 8% of a sales tax. And I also want to address the issue of regressivity when it does come down to what transportation is about, which is about people. Is someone in a wheelchair waiting on a cold winter day for a bus that doesn't come, having to ascend a snowbank to get to their mode of transportation? That's regressive. Do people who have to pay $100 for a new tire, $150 for a front-end alignment because they've hit a pothole or some other way in which our roads are not up to snuff? That's regressive. What about a union member sitting on the bench waiting for good work to support their family, a good wage? And I appreciate the union members and workers that support this bill. It's regressive for them to not have a good job and to have a good economic return on investment for our roads and bridges. That's a form of regressivity too, members. And finally, what about those frontline workers who we talked so much about during the height of the COVID epidemic? That they were the ones taking transit. They were the ones showing up at work. What about the frontline worker at the airport that has to leave at 4 in the morning and take a bus or two and a train just to get to work? Isn't that regressive, members? So this is a solid bill and a solid start. Oh, I'll also say, Representative Kraft, isn't not addressing the climate emergency right now with the billions and billions of dollars that it costs us? Not addressing that, members, that's regressive. So I appreciate the work done on this bill. For those that still have concerns or issues, there are two more committee stops. We'll do our best to address those. But the core of this bill will remain intact. It funds all parts of the state. We've made tremendous headway in terms of funding small cities. We've made tremendous headway in funding transit. I ask for your support. This is a solid bill. Thank you to everybody that worked on it and all the people that testified throughout this session and have showed up here today. I ask for your support and a yes vote.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, members, before us right now is the DE1 amendment as amended to the House File 2887. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Everyone opposed?
Aye.
The motion prevails. And now we have a roll call for House File 2887 as amended.
Hornstein.
Aye.
Hornstein, aye. Tabke.
1 second, sorry. I need to make sure that I didn't miss it. So renew the motion. Sorry, Mr. Chair. I renew the motion that House File 2887, as amended, be recommended to be re-referred to the Taxes Committee, is the specific motion.
Hornstein.
Aye.
Hornstein, aye. Tabke.
Aye.
Tabke, aye. Petersburg.
No.
Petersburg, no. Brand.
Aye.
Brand, aye. Elkins.
Aye.
Elkins, aye. Fogelman.
No.
Fogelman, no. Hudella.
No.
Hudella, no. Cagle.
Aye.
Cagle, aye. Kraft.
Aye.
Kraft, aye. Murphy, excused. Nelson.
Aye.
Nelson, aye. Norris.
Aye.
Norris, aye. Olson.
No.
Olson, no. Sensormira.
Aye.
Sensormira, aye. West.
No.
West, no.
With five ayes and nine nays, sorry, with nine ayes and five nays, the other direction, the House File 2887 passes. Mr. Burris, is there? Mr. Burris requests that I would like you to restate that if you could, please. Sorry.
Mr. Chair, we need to instruct the staff to do any corrections that need to do to make sure the bill has the intention that we have. I think that's close to what you need to say, Mr. Burris.
Thank you, Chair Nelson. I appreciate it, Chair Hornstein.
Thank you. I forgot one thing that I really wanted to say just before we adjourn. You know, there were a couple of people that testified yesterday that I really want to hold up because I think they summarized really what this is all about. MJ Carpio, a young woman from Minneapolis, spoke very passionately about transit. And then we had Gordy Wagner, an elder and statesman among county engineers from Polk County, essentially delivering the same message about why transportation is important. So this is an intergenerational statewide effort. And I thank, again, especially MJ and Gordy for their testimony. They're not here today, but I want to highlight who they are and what they said to us. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And with that, we are adjourned.
Nope.
Oh, nope. Ms.
Do we have to vote on the motion?
I don't think we have to vote. We just need to make it sure it's stated.
Then before you adjourn, could you or the chair give us I think there's a potential for a couple other meetings for later, but do we have any thoughts about that?
Chair Hornstein.
Sure. A couple of thoughts. There's going to be a bill introduced in the House that's being heard in the Senate today related to rail safety. And I think it's very, very important after yesterday's disaster in Raymond that we take a look at this. This bill was in the works long before this latest disaster took place. It was written in response to what happened in Ohio with another issue. So we're going to figure out a time to meet to talk about that bill. And then we also have Reps Petersburg, you and I have been talking throughout the session about offering members an opportunity to discuss their local bills. You know, we have so many of these individual bills, trunk highway bonding bills. We're in a conversation with the Senate about doing a joint hearing to hear those. But beyond those two matters, I think, you know, we're pretty much done for the session in this committee.
Representative Petersburg.
Thank you. I just want to make sure that we're aware that there could be a couple other meetings. But with that, this sounds like we're done for unless
the – Yeah, the regular season's done in this committee.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Petersburg, Chair Hornstein. I also want to thank all of the testifiers today for keeping it concise and to the point. I appreciate that because it allowed us to get through everything we needed to in the time available. Any further announcements, Chair Hornstein or Representative Petersburg?
Nope.
I'm good.
All right. With that, we are adjourned.